You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The place where sports.
I am your host, Nick.
Right.
This is where sports opinions collide.
This is where sports opinions collide. That is sports. Oh, it's your boy, Nicky Duce, a.k.a. It's your boy. No, I ain't going to go to the whole a.k.a. stuff.
Mr. Disrespect.
Mr. Disrespectful.
Yes.
With
yes.
BZ. What up?
Oh, you remember the 430?
Yeah, what's 430. Up. That's what's up. I got you.
All right, that's
we got FIFO back in the building.
Yeah, man.
24/7.
We were missing FIFO
24/7.
Yeah, man.
Glad to have you back, man.
I'm glad to be back.
You came back at the right time. That's a lot of crazy shit.
So do y'all just want to hit that
I'm not kidding. I ain't gonna bury the lead.
It's the elephant. It's the elephant in the room, man.
Oh man. So. The demise of the Lakers.
That's what we calling it now?
What did Magic say?
Is it because of LeBron?
What did Magic
say? I just saw his eyes look like... He really looked like the Michael Jordan meme.
Yeah.
He literally looked like that.
Yes.
Bruh.
And I couldn't listen to it because I was still recording Dead End Gaming. So when I was reading it, but I think I saw like a video, but
yeah.
I couldn't watch it because I was gonna send it to you,
but it was just
I couldn't watch it.
He was just like lost for words, literally. Like he was like... trying to explain a situation like, you know, when you care about a franchise so much.
He probably wasn't spending a lot of time with
him. He was just like, he just couldn't speak and he was just about to cry. You could see like he was just hurt that it got to this point.
Right.
And yeah, I was watching the video I saw posted was from Michael Rappaport's IG. So he was like, what the fuck did you do, LeBron? Going at him.
Blaming LeBron?
Like, yeah, because it's just like, I mean, Magic was there before LeBron got there. Once LeBron got there, now Magic's gone. I'm not putting it all on him, but it's just like that he was a big cog in that. I think he was a big cog in that because it was just like, now that I'm looking back at it, 2020 version or like vision, it's like, I think LeBron sat back and was like, I'm gonna let y'all really do this. I'm not gonna impose my will. Like initially, first out the gate, like when he first signed there from the offseason, I think he was like, y'all go ahead, do this. I mean, if y'all want to bring in these people, like whatever, you got me, so we should be good. And then when the season got to the halfway point, I think that's when he was like, hey, this team is cheeks. Like we need to get AD. That's when I think LeBron stepped in
before the trade deadline.
That's when I think LeBron's team was like, bro, what are y'all doing? Like, We need better, supporting cast.
Okay, but isn't the star player supposed to do that?
Yes, he is. But the GM or president is supposed to help the star player with surrounding with talent. Now, as a player, we always say, do your job as the player, as the best player in the world. Do your job, and we'll do ours. That's what a good organization is supposed to be, right?
Not necessarily, because
Jordan wasn't in the GM's office.
But that was Jerry Krause. That wasn't Michael Jordan. And I think that to have the best type of working relationship means that you have to have communication. Communication
yes.
should be the foundation
I agree.
Of what any organization is built upon. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to be able to play cards, cards faced up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know everything. I can't hold anything from you. So especially as the best player and the franchise player and the leader of the guys, like, you have to be able to go to management and be like, look, the pulse of the team is XYZ. You know, this is how we're getting beat on the court. You know what I'm saying? These are the certain things that I feel that we should look for, and via a trade or next year in free agency, you as the franchise player, it is your responsibility.
But it's Magic Johnson. This, remember, what's the main thing that we always talk about LeBron? Like, he doesn't give up his power if he doesn't respect you, right?
No. It's not about giving up power. Do you understand that when you're that powerful, you always wield your power? Can you withstand? And if I'm Thanos and you Incredible Hulk, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you still going to come swinging, and you might get scared and, you know, might not pop out no more. But it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And the thing was, in that analogy, Pat Riley was fucking Thanos. Nah, bro. I run this. You know what I'm saying? And it takes somebody like that.
Does Magic Johnson not... viewed as respected as a Pat Riley?
Well, I think initially just based off of, you know, pedigree, experience, you know, how successful you have been in and out of basketball, of course. But now the proof is, how long has Pat Riley been doing it? Magic been doing it?
I give you that.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I gave Magic the benefit of the doubt because of who he is. Let's be honest.
And that's why I'm saying is, like, initially it was like, I'm going to give y'all the benefit of the doubt, right? You Magic Johnson, you Rob Pelinka, this is not Jim Buss era. This is a new era, right? I'm going to let y'all cook. There's nothing, if I haven't seen you do wrong yet, why am I going to expect that, right? And I think that's why, like, because in the beginning we were wondering, like, why do they don't have no shooters? We know LeBron's teams that are successful have shooters, but I think it was just, it doesn't make sense for him to sign off on all those players knowing the players that he works with best. So it must have been a deferred of, like, I'm going to let y'all run this, and if anything happens, I'm going to step in. Something happened. And that's why him and Rich Paul stepped in and they started, you know, putting the feet to the fire as far as getting AD.
But I don't think that this is the first, like, this is not the first time this happens. You say, I feel like this happens multiple times across multiple seasons. You know, like, this is not something brand new. This is Rob Pelinka. You say, I'm not sure if that was Kobe's agent at the time, but when Kobe was like, trade me to Chicago. You don't think that – you think Kobe just woke up that morning and that was the first time he done said something?
Right.
Come on, bro. No,
that wasn't the first time, bro.
Come on, bro. Like, this happens all the – this is the business of basketball.
So then what happened to the timetable? Because the timetables have been switched around so damn much. We don't know what was true, what was false.
Here's the thing. I think that from the beginning, right, you have to start somewhere. And that's either with, like, a top three pick or the best player in the NBA. Lakers chose the best player or happened to be in position to acquire LeBron James. Cool, bet. First check mark off the board. Next one is, this first year, we're putting everybody on rentals because we need the cap space for next year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We drafted a point guard. We got young guys. Let's see how this works. Midway through, you're like, well, damn. This is not working. LeBron is injured. Let's see if we can go get AD. Whatever happened in that time frame, it left a stain
somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I think it showed Magic's inexperience. You know what I'm saying? The word on the street, you know what I'm saying? I use ESPN as my resource. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Everybody is saying that Magic is the one that leaked a lot of stuff. Will Demps had a vendetta that he didn't want to get over. You know what I'm saying? He felt sour in a situation with trying to trade AD. Mm-hmm. So he was like, nah. So everything just looked very amateur. And I think that it's big of Magic stepping down because that was his word. What was his word? I'm not the right guy to right the ship,
right,
I will step down.
But he said summer of 2019, right?
Of course. He said this was a two-year plan to acquire talent. So this summer was also huge for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to acquire some guy and still be able to sign somebody this offseason.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's
what I'm saying. It's like, why? The offseason hasn't even started yet.
But do you understand that, like, everything sports, especially team sports, is checkers and chess, right? Like, checkers meaning that you got to make moves. You know what I'm saying? You got to think, you know, you got to eat up. One, two, three moves, that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, you don't have to think down the road. You know, so it's very reactive. Mm-hmm. And you have to react to the temperature in the room, whether it be your team, whether it be the league, whether it be your offense, your defense, your head coach talking, yep. assistant coach. Yep. You have to be able to make the moves, talk to the people you need to talk to. You know, this guy's stressed. This guy's anxious. Like, that's general managing. I have to general manage all of this stuff.
And I think another thing, too, to piggyback off your point, I think with Magic during the whole trade season thing, mm-hmm. we saw something that we normally don't see in GMs or presidents is that, like, he panicked. Mm-hmm. I think he panicked, like, trying mm-hmm. to trade off all those young assets mm-hmm. just for Anthony Davis. Oh, let's try to trade off all these mm-hmm. picks and stuff for Anthony Davis. Like, hitting up all these teams, well, hitting up New Orleans in general, just trying to get that trade to go. Like, he was, like, it looked like Magic was panicking.
He was, like,
panicking,
he was desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was desperate. And, like, you normally don't see that from GMs a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. For some reason, it just felt different with this situation. It was like, because I think we even said, we was like, damn, it just seemed like Magic panicking, man. Like, why he keep offering all these players?
Exactly. With knowing that the summer is where the free agency is.
Yeah, we were just like, what is Magic doing? It's like, dude, even some of my best friends who are, like, Lakers fans, they're like, dude, Magic out here looking real suspect, bro.
And to me, again, I know we already talked about this, but it goes back to the Paul George thing, where the fact that he didn't try hard enough to get him. And he thought it was a done deal.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's kind of effed up to say it, but is Magic the reason why the Lakers are where they are now? As far as not getting any superstar talent.
Outside of LeBron. You see how you had to throw that in?
Yeah.
I want to say this. I think Magic is a big reason why. You know what I'm saying? Who primarily selected this team around LeBron? Then you wanted to trade the team you selected around LeBron.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you are the GM. Vice president of basketball, whatever the title is.
You was the guy running shit.
Basketball stuff, you was the guy running shit. You was calling the shots.
You in every major conversation. Right. Yeah.
And to B's point, I want to echo that, is that you see every GM, like when we saw the Philly Clippers trade.
Yeah.
What did I text y'all? GOAT, literally the emoji, GM.
Jerry West.
Yeah. Like this. The only reason why I even knew about it is because I was up. I was watching other basketball games.
You also said a key thing as far as most moves like that, they just happen in the middle of the night. You don't hear any announcements or nothing like that.
Jerry West,
it just happens.
It just happens.
But these Lakers stuff, we've been hearing everything.
And even Danny Ainge, right? Like, we hear, especially this year in Boston was pretty loud, but mm-hmm. outside of this year, maybe mm-hmm. when Danny Ainge first got there,
yeah.
but this run he's been on, a lot of stuff has been under the radar. Of course, if we're targeting certain big names, you might hear about that,
yeah.
but you don't know who we're trading.
Yeah,
we don't talk about none of that. You know what I'm saying? But we may say, yeah, we got Anthony Davis in our sights,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like you drop stuff you want to be dropped.
Mm-hmm.
We know about stuff that people want us to know about, and the Ooh. Reason why you want a star to know is because now what you're doing is you're jockeying for position to get that star. Do you want him to walk? Or do you want some of the stuff I got?
Right.
So you better start thinking about that. I ain't telling you what we're going to give you.
He got them
out here.
Got all them draft picks. All them draft picks, buddy.
Exactly. So there's a way to conduct your business and do your job of GM. And Magic did not do a good job. If I had to grade him for the year, D? Like he didn't pass nothing, bro.
I would say F.
F? I would be nice. Look, I'm giving the man the benefit of the doubt.
But I know I sound weird because I feel like I may be the one that's kind of defending Magic, but it's just it's not really defending. I'm just trying to understand why everything happened so quickly as far as like the house of cards is falling down in less than one season because the season ain't even over yet.
Because this is where the other blame has to go on to, but it's not right to blame LeBron like this. But he does take a part in it because he has the torch of being the best player in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or mm-hmm. I think KD is now. I think KD
or
with this
Giannis.
Injury or even Giannis, you know, say as the best player, because both of those guys play both ends of the court. I still think
Before I give Giannis that title, uh-huh. I gotta see we do this postseason.
I feel you.
I'm gonna give it to him now.
I gotta see we gotta do this give postseason. It to him now. I can't give it not yet.
There's too much evidence there, to say he is.
But
he isn't.
If he get second round exit
No, 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 for real.
I don't think they. I think they guilty. I think
we know that. We know that. But in years past,
yes, I agree.
Supposed to make that jump,
and he didn't. But he has literally everything now.
He has everything.
And that's the reason why.
That's why I can't give it to him yet. Yeah. If he can prove to me that he can
take
the next
step. Conference Finals.
That's at least. That's at least.
So he'll be best player in the world if he gets the Eastern Conference Finals.
Second, behind KD. KD just has more in the bag.
Yeah, he got more in the bag. He does.
Okay.
He
I get it.
Yeah. You know, how many times Finals MVP now? How many championships? He got more in the bag.
He's going to be 3-for-3 by the end of the season.
Yep, so it is what it is. It is what it is.
He's going to go off into the sunset somewhere.
Now, here's the thing now. Giannis upset Golden State. Well, then, goddamn, Giannis the best motherfucker in the NBA.
But yeah,
they got the depth, though. You know who I forgot that played for? I forgot George Hill played for them.
Uh-huh.
That's a nice little, like, veteran backup PG. George Hill might be the curse of that whole team. No. He might be the reason. Now, what's going to be a factor is when my man, Malcolm, when he comes back.
Malcolm Brogdon, when he comes back.
I think he won't come back to the second round.
Yep.
Because they're gonna hold him off.
Might as well, yeah. First round they probably
gonna play the Pistons. They probably gonna play us.
Yeah.
And they're gonna sweep us and you know, bam.
That's easy.
If we make it.
Get one game. Get gentleman sweep.
I don't know, man. We've been playing shitty lately. We limping into the playoffs right now if we make it. We won last night. I mean, we won tonight. We was down by 20 at halftime to Memphis without Mike Conley. But we came back and won by 5. But we play the Knicks tomorrow, so hopefully that'll be a win and we get a.
So here's playoff. The thing. So I'm we jumping.
Yeah, I know. Did y'all get my text?
What text?
The playoff.
I was listening to our November because the playoffs start this week. Look at it. I put down all our predictions for the East and the West for playoffs. We had pretty much everything right. I mean, none of us picked the Nets in Orlando, and in the West, none of us picked. It was a team that Clippers. None of us picked the Clippers in the West.
And so the only team that didn't make it was the Bulls for me.
Yeah.
Yep. Or and the Heat.
And the Heat.
The Hornets could make it in.
It's still to be said, but the Heat, I think.
The Hornets could make it in. I could have. Yeah, the Heat too.
Yeah, but like I said, none of us picked the Nets or Magic, Orlando Magic.
Those are the two that got me. And then the Lakers.
In the West.
Who's in the Lakers? Oh, the Clippers.
Clippers. Like I said, none of us picked the Clippers.
Yep. Yep.
And I think all y'all had the Lakers except for me.
Yeah. If I take out the Lakers and put the Clippers in, I'd have been good.
Hey,
yeah.
I'll take my percentages.
Yeah, my percentage was good, too, because the only team I had wrong was Sacramento. And, I mean, that wasn't that far off. I mean, you take out Sacramento and put in Clippers, I had a perfect eight, mm-hmm. you know, in the West. But, yeah, okay, you can go ahead. I know you was about to say your point.
Yeah, no, but 2K, right? Like this little that ain't gaming 2K NBA playoff tournament that we're going to do.
You planning?
Yeah.
Is your homework still playing?
Yeah, he down. He ready.
Okay. So here's the thing. All I know is if I play with Detroit or number 8 seed and I knock out number 1 seed, somebody owe me something.
I thought you were going to play Boston. I'm surprised.
Well, it don't matter. Because remember, we got to play two teams.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the reason why I was saying we should all have like one good team, one bad team.
I got you.
Or what we doing in one East, one West?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how many we get up in here. Because I got somebody else that they want to bring their little. Remember, I tell you,
you said that
she want to bring her little brother. He want to play. She like, does he have to be under 18? I said, yeah, he can play. If you want to play 2K, he can come in and play too. So I told her, I let her know when we gonna start playing. She's like, okay, he's gonna play. And then I was telling him, I think you weren't here that day. I was like, man, he might come in and bust all our asses and shit. You like, speak for yourself.
I said,
like,
nah, yeah.
Nope.
I gotta get my practice in. I'm a little rusty.
I don't need no practice. But either way,
shit.
Hey, look, call 24/7.
Dead end studio. Dead end studios. We
once he get knocked out first round, they gonna be at the crib 24/7. But I digress. Go ahead.
Let me get you first round.
Yeah, dead end gaming, dead end sports, 2K tournament, man. Here at the dead end studios, man. It's gonna be live. I can't wait. Can't wait till we have it. I think we're gonna have it that weekend. I think the Easter weekend, the Saturday, the 20th, April 20th. Or you want to do it in May? You want to do it in May? Kind of give it more time, or
nah? Let's start early.
April 20th.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna be out of town that 27th. The weekend.
After the weekend.
Okay. By our birthdays, I'm gonna be out of town that weekend. Yeah. So that's why I said the 20th, April 20th, that Easter weekend. Because I'm off work that 19th. I'm off work on Good Friday, so I got a 3-day weekend that weekend. So
you can start on Friday too if you want.
If you see what your boy is,
he free. Yeah. I mean, yeah. After work, we can start.
I might do a 20 because if people join in, they might be off work on the 20th, so they can.
Okay. So, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we got it. Yep.
So, B, do we want to go over this list and just let the people know how right we was? Because
you can go over.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
You gonna go over just yours?
I was gonna go over everybody.
Okay.
So back in like y'all was November, hearing November. Back in November 2018, these right. were our all of our playoff predictions. So for the Eastern Conference, Nick had the Raptors, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Sixers, the Heat, Pistons, and Hornets. So you got three teams jockeying for the last.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you who was you wrong on?
We was all wrong on the Nets and the Magics.
Nets and Magic. Yep.
Damn, I forgot the Nets.
Yeah.
So Ken has Sixers, Celtics, Pacers, Bucks, Heat, Raptors, Pistons, Wizards.
That was Ooh. Wizards was an interesting pick right there.
Ooh. I think that was more of a he just hoped that John Wall was going to pull it off this year.
He going to have to explain that.
He got to explain that one. Yep. Yeah.
He got to explain that. Then I had the Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, Celtics, Sixers, Heat, Pistons and Bulls. I thought Laurie was going to get there a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did. Mind you, too, when we picked these, we ain't rank them or nothing. We just picked eight teams that we thought. And by the time y'all listen to this, the playoffs will be set because it'll be on Thursday and the playoffs will be set by after Wednesday. Probably after tonight, depending on how some of the games go. But yeah, all right, go ahead.
And then the Western Conference, B had.
Oh, you didn't
do his East.
You did my East.
I did it. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
So BZ had Sixers, Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, Hornets, Pistons, and the Heat. So pretty much we all picked the Heat.
Right.
We thought D Wade was going
to. We thought D Wade was
going to. And he still has.
They're only a half game out, I think, from number
eight. So, like, if I think. We won tonight, but if we lose against the Knicks tomorrow, and if the Heat wins tomorrow, they're in. I think that's how it goes.
Would that clinch it?
I think that would clinch it. If we lose tomorrow, so like tomorrow we have to win. Like if we win, the only way we lose and we still in it is if the Miami Heat and if Charlotte still lose. Mm-hmm. So that's the way. That's how it goes. It's tight. It's tight right now.
I think y'all have like the hardest schedule to end the season as far as to get that playoff spot.
Yeah, because we play Indiana back to back.
Yeah, it's something tough. Like that.
Yeah, it was, and then we played Charlotte recently and we lost to them. Mm-hmm. That was tough. Kemba Walker bust our ass. So it's been tough, man. We had a tough last little like 7-8 games, man. It's been tough.
All right, and in the West, B picked the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the Spurs, the Thunder. Utah, Sacramento, and Houston. So that's very interesting. The Kings.
Because I remember when you named like your little wild card team, whatever, the Bulls, I was like, I felt like Sacramento was kind of on the up and coming.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I was listening to the podcast. I was like, man, I can see them getting the eighth spot. And I mean, they're not too far away from it.
They've been right there all year.
But yeah, I think Kings. I might predict them again next year when we do our 2019-2020 season.
I think next year, like you almost have to guarantee it. Just because of the progression of their best player. Like Marvin Bagley was in his bag.
Yes, he was.
He was just small.
Buddy Hield is now comfortable. Yes. Darian Fox.
B. Can you give me the catchphrase, please?
Three to five.
What year is it for Buddy Hield?
Three.
We're going to talk about one of your homeboys who's supposed to be on that 3-5 track.
Sometimes they fall off. I'm just saying that we can't write these guys that early.
Nah, we can't.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I be saying, man. Like when people be trying to go in, oh, what's up with this?
Give him time.
You know what I'm saying? And I already know who you're talking about.
Like we know what Devin Booker's about.
Give this man a point guard.
Give him a point guard. My man from Murray State coming.
Yes, Ja.
If I'm Phoenix, I'll be doing whatever moves I need to make to try to make sure I pick him.
Yep. All right, so we went over B's. Ken's picks were Golden State, OKC, Lakers, Nuggets, Blazers, Spurs, Rockets, and Jazz. So pretty much he got it right. Well, minus the Lakers. Nobody saw the damn Clippers.
Nobody did.
I think we all had the same. After me, you... Me, FIFO, and Ken had the same list.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, for the West.
So yeah, was only wrong by one.
And that was the Clippers.
Yeah,
but I think the eighth spot is always the hardest to pick.
But I wasn't picking the Lakers at the eighth either, though.
Yeah, remember because we were just naming eight teams.
I was thinking of the Lakers at bottom six. I was like six,
you
seven.
Said it
eight.
In that podcast. Yeah. So he was like, "Yeah, I see the Lakers being an AFC or whatever." And I'm like, "I don't see them making that low."
Not with LeBron. I don't care what conference he's in. Not that low.
And I know. I mean, I just saw something at that. They just didn't play good team defense. So I was just like, man, that's going to hurt them in the West. So that's why I didn't see them making the playoffs. And I'm glad I was right. But Clippers, by the Clippers being in the playoffs, that kind of shows at least Doc Rivers should be like in.
Here I go with this Doc Rivers.
No, I'm just saying he should be in the like. Come on, man. I'm not saying he should be coach of the year. I'm not saying this, Nick. But like, if you name it like five or six guys that's the coach of the year candidates, he should be on.
He's
in.
He's top five.
Because
but you know how I feel about top five rankings.
No, no.
After you say the third person or whatever, but the rest don't matter.
But he did a good job, man. And you trade off Tobias Harris. And you still
trade off
in the
best
West.
Player.
In the West. And you still make the playoffs. You maintain pace.
And we're talking about a 50-40-90 yes. goddamn.
Are y'all great? Are y'all great in Doc Rivers just solely on this year?
Yeah, this year.
This season. My feelings are more about him being a coach. Like,
no, I'm talking about 2018, 2019 season.
Okay, my question, does this year change your mind of what you thought about Doc Rivers before?
No. Because I've always held him in the highest regard in coaching. Yeah, in the
highest regard?
Yeah. I always thought he's always been a top five coach. While he's been top five.
Yeah. I think he's.
You can't name four guys better than him, bro. Like, you just. Pop, obviously. Right. I give you Brad Stevens. Who else?
Steve Kerr.
Okay, I give you Steve Kerr.
I would say. Who's the coach for Utah?
Quinn Snyder.
I would say he's better. Right now.
Better than Doc, overall to Tally?
Right now or overall, because that's different. Overall,
what's the difference?
What do you mean? Right now is right now.
Right.
I'm just saying,
as far as up to this point, like, right.
Because Quinn Snyder got no chip.
No, he ain't got no chip.
So,
are we only going by chips?
No,
coaches with chips?
Because then Brad Stevens
is it totality or is it? You going by 2 years?
Y'all said Brad Stevens off rip, and I'm like, if he's better than Doc, then Snyder got to be better than Doc.
No. I didn't say he was better than Doc. I just said that's one of the people that you could put in consideration over Doc.
So you can put the dude from Utah in consideration over Doc?
Really? Yeah. But I wouldn't put him over Brad to me. He not better coach than Brad.
No, I'm not saying he's better than Brad, but I'm just saying for what he's done with the Utah Jazz organization, that coach, he's done a lot.
Okay. I'll nip this in the bud real quick. Name me one other coach that's done more with less this year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Maybe Nate McMillan.
He's coaching Indiana, right?
Yeah. But he had Oladipo for at least
a good third of the season.
Exactly. Almost two thirds.
Yeah, but I mean, but if we're going to compare it to Tobias Harris leaving, that's the same thing, right?
Tougher conference, Doc.
You're moving the goalposts with that one.
No, but we're splitting hairs. No. If I'm looking at it to try to nudge it to one way or the other, that to me nudges it a little bit more to Doc than Nate McMillan. Tougher conference, right? Top to bottom.
Yes, tougher conference. Yes.
So a little bit to Doc. I'm not moving the goalposts. We just we got to pick somebody. Yeah. There got to be a winner and a loser.
I'm just saying the day you compare Nate McMillan to Doc Rivers says a lot about
Nate
Doc
McMillan.
Rivers.
Not overall.
I wouldn't be mad if he's up in the conversation for Coach of the Year.
I would put him more than Doc.
Yeah, and here's the thing. That's the only other coach that you can truly definitively say that has done at least the same with less.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Than Doc Rivers. There's no other coach, bro.
Right.
There's no other coach.
Damn, man. Doc, I like Doc, man. I can't believe you don't care for Doc.
I used to love Doc because Rondo's one of my favorite players. So when he was playing with that Boston Celtics team, I was loving it. But it was just
the squads, they just kept getting injured the wrong time.
No, but it's at the same. I've seen him. The thing is, like, I've seen him do less with more talent, and I've seen him do more with less talent. Like, I don't know how to judge this coach. Like I've seen him win championships. I've seen him go to the finals a couple times, but then I've also seen him lose two rounds of series that you should have clinched early and went home. That was the year that they could have went. They probably could have went deeper in the playoffs and not to the championship round. It's just like he's really mediocre to me.
He didn't have his best players.
He's mediocre to me.
Blake was getting hurt, man. Blake always got hurt during postseason. So
yep. Yeah, but at this point, if you've seen him what he's doing this year with the Clippers, he should have took that Clippers team with Blake getting hurt further, right? Is that not the logical thing to think of?
This was before you were on the show, and I always said that the Clippers were fatally flawed. Fatally flawed. Fatally. And the reason why I say that is DeAndre Jordan is a dependent basketball player.
Yep. He's like Clint Capella.
Worse.
You think he's worse?
Worse.
Oh yeah. Oh, worse. Definitely. Clint Capela, he can kind of get his own a little bit. Like he got
a little bit more than DeAndre.
He offensively, yeah.
Yeah, he has more touch than DeAndre Jordan does. DeAndre. Just all the way around.
I mean, DeAndre was just all putbacks, rebounds, hustle, defending the glass. That's it.
Yep. That's it. That like that's all he was. Right. And he's your big three now.
Right.
Blake Griffin at the time was not the versatile Blake Griffin that he is in Detroit. Is not, right. He had to progress to that. He didn't have a jumper early on. He had dribbles. He had handles. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't what it is right now. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't refined. Obviously, his jumper is way better now. The man is hitting, you know, step back threes. You know, like, he wasn't doing that back then. So he wasn't as versatile. CP's been CP. Like, shit, the man came into the league, like, no drop off. He's only gotten even better, you know what I'm saying, with time. What is missing in that? You're missing a wing 3-and-D guy, a Rudy Gay, somebody that can compete against the likes of the Kevin Durants, the LeBrons of the world. You don't got to outdo him because you got CP, you got Blake, you know what I'm saying, you got dependent. DeAndre Jordan, you know what I'm saying? But if you had a guy that was at least 3-and-D that can physically compete,
I got to relook at that roster.
They didn't have that.
I got to relook at that roster because I feel like that roster was very – because they had Eric Bledsoe backing up CP at one point.
1 year. Only 1 year.
Yep.
And then also,
I thought it was at least two.
Nah, it was 1 year. And then they had JJ, but JJ's a three guy. He ain't no D guy.
No D guy, yeah.
So that's what they were missing. They were missing a.
They were missing like a who, Andrew Wiggins type of guy. Who was a prototype kind of guy.
Jabari Parker never got hurt.
Right.
That's what they were.
They needed somebody like that. Yeah, they needed somebody at that position.
You know another team, and they fell short too. That was missing somebody like that. The D Rose MVP Bulls.
Yes.
They didn't have a guy. Like, Luol Deng was nice, but Luol Deng couldn't go get his own buckets. Like,
Luol Deng was back when he was during that era of the Bulls. That was towards
not
the
MVP
end
Rose,
of him. But,
though,
it,
not
but
MVP
it was
Rose
was,
Bulls.
Luol Deng was holding down that whole franchise before Rose got there.
That's what I'm saying. Not that. MVP Rose, but during
but,
that
but
era.
We're talking 14, 16 point a game, Luol Deng. We're not talking the 21 point a game, Luol Deng. You know what I'm saying? At this point, Luol Deng was a little bit ragged. And he was getting paid like crazy. So they were missing that other firepower, which is the reason why they made the Carlos Boozer move and stuff like that. But digressing back into Doc Rivers and what you were saying about that CP3 team, Blake got injured every year or every other year in the playoffs. So did CP. And the point I was making, because DeAndre Jordan is part of your big three, but it's so dependent, if one of your main guys go down, especially if it's CP, what are you supposed to do? How do you even run offense at this point? You know, we've seen what CP means to a championship level team now, right? With Houston, they could have legitimately beat the Warriors because, bro, CP to beat
he was taking
best,
it to Steph Curry, dude.
That's what I'm getting.
He
I'm
was
getting
shimmying on him.
I'm getting there. To beat the best, you know what I'm saying? You got to believe that you are the best, mm-hmm. and you got to match that. You know what I'm saying? And what do I always say? There's always a point guard list, a handful of guys.
Yeah.
If they see Steph, they see Ray, bro. Like, you can't guard me. Dude. And CP's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And to beat the Warriors, to beat whatever team you're playing, if whatever guys they have, you have to have guys that can compete physically, mentally, emotionally on that level. And if you don't have that, you can't win. And we saw what CP meant to that team. So if going back again to the Doc Rivers Clippers team, you lose CP, what you supposed to do, bro?
They was up 3-1 against Houston.
Tell me that
with CP.
I get all that. I get all that. And that's the reason.
CP was the only one balling, though. Griffin went missing. He went missing. I remember that.
That's your job as a coach to coach him up, right?
CP3 fault.
You got the only person I know is Lou Williams. Everybody else is just a butcher, beggar, and candlestick maker. Like, what? Come on. Like, and you got him as the AC. And we supposed to throw a whole parade for you?
That's good.
Come on, man. Look.
He just being disrespectful.
I'm just saying, right? He's a mediocre coach. Like, for his career,
he is not mediocre.
Doc Rivers will be known as a mediocre coach.
Doc Rivers is not a mediocre coach, man.
How?
First of all, what coach?
Name me, if you have, four future Hall of Famers, because I'm including Rondo in that, mm-hmm. how do you not win a championship? Of course, it's I'm not saying it's not that hard, but it's not that difficult to win a championship. So he got one.
It's not that difficult.
How come Doug Collins didn't win? He had Jordan.
Yep. He only had Jordan though.
So why Doug Harris ain't win with the Lakers when he, right, had, when he had Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, Kobe Bryant, Eldon Campbell, AC Green, Shaq. Do you want me to keep going down there? Because they didn't have Rick Fox. That was later.
That was your wing defender.
That was during that three.
Bro, you had Eddie Jones and Kobe.
I'm just saying.
And Nick at night.
I'm just saying, but
he got a ring. He went to the finals twice, was up 3-2 over the Lakers until some old boy got hurt. Perkins got hurt. Yeah, changed Perkins the whole series.
Yeah. Because remember, them Lakers had Bynum and Gasol. So they were double big there. So if you didn't have Perkins, that's a big because Garnett didn't have it against Bynum. Bynum was a 2010 guy. Let's not forget that.
Nah, yeah, he was. Bynum was an all-star.
Anybody would know it would be Modest Media because he's the Lakers guy.
Okay, maybe 18-9.
It was double double numbers. Something like that.
He was damn near averaging a double double. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying. I like how Colin Cowherd says this about anybody in sports. You take their best years off, you take their worst years off, or the worst year off. Whatever they have in the middle, that's them as a coach. That's how I'm looking at Doc Rivers. You take that championship year off, and you take whatever his worst season as a coach off, the rest in the middle, that's Doc Rivers. And in that middle, he lost two playoff series when he was up 3-1. That's a mediocre ass coach to me.
What kind of logic is that?
How is that not logical?
So because he lost a 3-1
because
lead,
you're cutting out what makes him a championship coach in order to make him mediocre.
Right. I'm just saying.
You can't do that, man.
I could do that. If you look at Greg Pop.
But that is the law of averages. Like because even at work, there's certain things I get graded on that's what they do. They take my worst year. Escape that. Take my best month. Best month, worst month. This is how you qualify for certain shit.
People, you gonna fall for that?
He has.
I'm just saying.
Just a little. I don't come to his defense much. So don't act like I'm over here caping.
Y'all need to listen to me more. I've been speaking gospel on this podcast ever since I got here.
You've been wrong since you started.
Hey, that's your jersey number one. We hoop. Two, disrespectful on the back.
Hey, I'll take it.
Y'all talk about this. What's up with Magic? Y'all talk about that already?
We kicked off the show with that shit.
They said it's the demise.
What happened?
The demise.
It's LeBron.
LeBron has held this guy, his feet to the
Magic
fire.
Magic stepped down from basketball. That's freaking crazy.
LeBron held Magic's foot to the fire. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying it was too hot in the kitchen for Magic to cook.
So I just read. Did you read what Woj said?
Nah, I didn't read.
You know, Woj since beyond. Take.
How long has Magic been there?
2 years now.
Not even two years, I would think.
He drafted Lonzo, and then got LeBron.
So 2 years.
All right. Since taking over as president of the Lakers, Magic Johnson never fully committed to the job.
Mm.
Often he was traveling and away from the team.
Mm.
His office hours were limited. He didn't do a lot of scouting. Mm. Running an NBA team takes a tremendous amount of time and energy.
You know what it sounds like?
That's over 2 years.
You know what that sounds just like?
What?
Phil Jackson and when he was with the Knicks.
With the Knicks. That's probably true.
Just like that. Yeah.
And they have been saying that I think Stephen A. has been saying that about Magic. Like, he's never around the office. That Rob Pelinka be kind of dry snitching on him, running around, talking about, have you seen Magic? So.
Oh, my God.
At least Phil Jackson gave the Knicks Kristoff, you know what I'm saying? Like, Magic gave y'all Lonzo.
He gave y'all LeBronzo. Get it right.
I can't believe.
And now he Gonzo.
So, like, what's gonna happen in the off season? Like, what are they gonna do?
They gonna have to blow it up.
No.
They gonna have. How do you not blow this team up when the president literally is on TV crying, talking about some? I tried.
Look. Listen.
He was crying too, wasn't he?
You strap up your bootstraps.
Well, if he wasn't doing the job, then, I mean, you can only get better.
And Ken, look, we have to respect Magic Johnson because he was a man of his word. He said, if I'm not the guy to turn this around, I will step down.
But he didn't even give him his full time.
We understand that. But Magic clearly stated, it didn't matter if I was here 4 years, 1 year. If I'm not the guy, I will step down from the job.
Then what made him realize he wasn't the guy? It must have been what everybody else has been saying as far as none of these free agents want to come up. None of the top free agents want to come to L.A. They cool on it.
I don't think that's it. I think he just... he didn't want to do it.
Like he, yep. So you think based off that tweet, you think he was just kind of like, I'm checking out.
But I'm saying, like, why take the job if you don't realize what it entails?
Well, because you got to understand where Magic is in life. You know what I'm saying? Magic wants to enjoy. But Magic is also.
You can't say that.
That's what he said. He said, I'm free now.
He's with the Dodgers. He's doing this.
He's not necessarily an active. He's not making Dodger decisions. Hey, what my check at the end of the month? I bet mailbox money. That's all he doing. That's where Magic is in life. He's a boardroom executive. He's not a day to day guy anymore. You know what I'm saying? And this Lakers job, because he's so loyal, he didn't necessarily feel or thought or realized that this was going to be a day-to-day job. He didn't want to run it that way like Phil Jackson did, because he was beyond that in his career. He doesn't want day. I did day-to-day. I don't want to do that no more. So he came to the realization, and he's like, I'm not the guy to do what I said I was going to do. I'm out. I'm not going to hold you captive like Mitch Kupchak. I'm not these other guys that are going to, you know, just hang around for my check. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Thank you. I tried.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm out.
And I think he doesn't want to get in the way of the remaining 3 years. So, you know, this year was terrible. So he was like, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I'm not fully committed. I haven't been fully committed the year I took over the job. And I haven't been fully committed this year. So let me get out of the way and, you know.
But it has to be more than that. Because it just doesn't make sense for me that he quits for the things that everybody when day one has been saying this is what it requires. Like what are you talking about when you hire somebody like this?
Nick, when you great, you do it how you want to do it. It don't matter what everybody else is saying, bro. I do it how I want to do it.
Okay,
and this is you're not Magic.
Okay.
But no, we understand that. But again, that's why I said we have to respect him of being a man of his word. He stepped the hell down. It is what it is. Like I said, I feel that LeBron being the best player, right, or coming into the season being the best player, we know that LeBron is demanding when it comes to roster and personnel moves, right? We know that. That's not something that's brand new. LeBron, I think, again, just he turned up the oven a little too much, and Magic was like, man, this, because he couldn't make that AD trade. And then after not being able to make the AD trade, who else do you go for?
He Magic made a lot of mistakes. Poor decisions.
Exactly.
This year.
And that's what I said earlier too, Ken, before you joined us, was the fact that if I have to grade Magic Johnson as a GM, general managing day to day, everybody, you know, everything that's happening, you're the one that picked the players around LeBron, you didn't do a good job. You know what I'm saying? You didn't do a good job. That it's as simple as that.
Because he started out as the ambassador, right? Or something
he's
like that.
I was going to say, he's always been the best.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he's always been connected.
Because he said that, you know, I have more fun when I'm as an ambassador. So I just kind of to pull up, like, the article when he was first hired. And, yeah, it seemed like he was just placed in that role. So he was kind of like a Jerry West.
Yeah.
And then Genie was like, yo, why don't you do it? And Magic was like, all right. Yep. And then, you know, they got LeBron. It was like, jeez. Yeah, I'm good. Because he didn't have the first year, you get Lonzo, and that shows how he messed up with Lonzo, because he wasn't committed to the job.
Oh, that guy says a lot, actually, now.
Think about it.
He knowing what we know. Okay, so let's play with all the cards on the table.
Let's put it
now
together, FIFA. We gotta.
If he wasn't committed and he picked Lonzo just because of the LA thing and all, and his daddy talking.
Let me tell you.
Let
me talk to an OG real quick. Ken, how right am I when it comes to personnel and evaluations of players?
Melo didn't come back.
Melo.
Carmelo.
I been saying he out the league.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, you pretty damn good, because he never came
first
back.
Of all,
he never
first of all,
back.
Look, come like, on. Like,
first of all.
This is about Magic Johnson and LeBron James.
Hey, you knew Dick didn't want to hear that
why
shit.
Why y'all always
trying to hear that?
Come on, man. No. Y'all always leave him alone.
But beyond the vet.
Melo ain't even want to go to L.A. That's how bad this was.
beyond the vets, the youngins. I'm not saying I bat 1,000. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet I bat better than 70%. I know it.
You're saying you're an all-star.
You're pretty good.
Yes. When it comes to evaluation of talent, projecting what they can and can't be, you know, obviously, like Jabari Parker, I was very high. Who saw 2 ACL injuries on one and then one on the other? Nobody saw it. Come on. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely thought him and Joel Embiid were going to be the two best. How high was I on Joel Embiid super early before everybody? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I told people Wiggins, I'm not a believer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he has a potential, but it is what it is. Lonzo, when I watch him play, he does things you cannot teach. His feel, his IQ is very Jason Kidd-esque. He's had a lot of hype, a lot of hoopla. It is what it is. We're judging him on that and not really what he's able to do. The kid rookie year almost averaged a very skinny triple-double. Let's be honest. 9 points, eight assists, 7 rebounds. Shit. We knew he wasn't going to come into the league scorching it up. That was his dad talking. Oh, he better than Steph. He could score more than Steph. He's a better 3-point shooter. That's daddy. Watch the game. He's a pure point guard. He sets people up. He gets the ball out of his hand. He has to learn certain NBA nuance, but give him 3 to 5.
We'll go ahead.
Well, and we will. And I know you guys already talked about it, so we can, you know, move on to other stuff. But I just wanted to hear you guys' thoughts. I'm with you, Nick. There's a lot to unpack here. And we're going to let the reporters do what they do and get the real truth. If there is a real truth. Because from everything that I've listened to, this literally came out of nowhere. Nobody had any idea.
And it makes me really sip. Like, it's either one. This has been a disaster since before he even got hired. The fact that he even got hired was a disaster decision or desperate decision. And two, the fact that he didn't even give himself his full timetable means that it's even worse than what we thought it was. Because not only did you lose, you're going to lose your coach. You're going to lose your
president. They'll probably
keep
him now.
Nah, because he said he hasn't even talked to Luke. Right.
Yeah, but remember, Genie, I know, which was.
And Genie was like, I'm cool with letting him go. That's what I heard reports.
That's because she believed in Magic. Magic, with them leaving and no longer there, that decision to keep Luke Walton is probably going to come down to LeBron.
She's too old to be believing
so,
in Magic.
Walton was her pick, and she loves Luke Walton, and she believes in Luke Walton. But she was willing to concede those type of decisions to Magic Johnson. So going back to Vivo, you more than likely you may be right. In 3 to 5, we have to wait and see. But going back to what Woj said about Magic and what we know about Lonzo thus far.
Was he worth the #2 overall pick? That's my only question.
It seemed like Magic was being a little lazy there. And he could have made, based on what we've seen, hindsight 2020, other players do, Tatum could have been a better pick, or other guys,
or even just looking at the comparison of just like sometimes, even with Michael Jordan, sometimes the best players do not know how to evaluate talent.
No, I look at
the players LeBron has asked for; they haven't panned out. Look at what Magic's done. Look at what Jordan's best pick was, probably what Kemba. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, is nothing.
Nothing.
I think Magic was just being lazy. Lonzo was the hype. Lonzo filled seats, and I'm just gonna take Lonzo.
Look. I don't think that was a lazy pick. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20.
It just feels like it based on the new information we have. I'll add that part in there.
Yeah, to you. I don't necessarily feel that way because remember, I don't watch college basketball, but I watch NBA guys in college. I do that. And I watch a lot of Lonzo. Lonzo can do what he did at UCLA here. Hmm? He just needs to have.
Does he need to be like D'Angelo Russell and have to just move situations?
He don't have the offensive game like that D'Angelo Russell has.
Lonzo's
a different type of guy, more Jason Kidd.
Yes, he needs guys that do things well, but don't necessarily know how to do it for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. Kerry Kittles was nice, but Kerry Kittles wasn't Kerry Kittles until he played with Jay Kidd. You say Kenyon Martin super athletic, but he wasn't, you know, considered defensive player of the year and you know, all of these type of things. He wasn't as impactful without J. Kidd. You say, and that's not diminishing Kenyon Martin. I love Kenyon. He started hitting threes and started defending wing players.
But they were basically like age. Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan.
Exactly. You look at Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson's game jumped. Look at Vince Carter's game. Everybody that has played with J. Kidd.
That Nets squad was so stacked.
They were stacked.
I love that squad.
J. Kidd elevates other guys. I think that's what Lonzo's best quality is. And I think that if you look at the roster stripped down minus LeBron, that's the type of point guard you go for. You don't go for somebody that's going to be stingy. Why? Because you want Brandon Ingram to be the 20-point-a-game guy, don't you? So how you have a point guard that's stingy and doesn't get other people involved? When I look at, yes, there were other quote-unquote better players that are playing better today versus Lonzo, I'll concede that, but give me my 3-5. And also, if they move Lonzo, imagine Lonzo goes to Phoenix and now he plays with Devin Booker. Lonzo is going to be able to produce. But if we're looking at this guy to average 25 points a game, because maybe that's the new norm for point guards, that's not what's going to happen. He's not going to average 25 a game.
Yeah. And then I go back to the question, and we could probably move on after this. Was he worth the number 2 overall pick?
Yes, because if he can impact rebounding and assists, he makes up for the points. You got to understand. Like I play 2K hella, right? And there's a stat I always look for, especially for point guards, which is PF, points accounted for. You don't have to score to be impactful. And this is coming from a point guard, bro. I can control the whole game and score 6 points. The whole game. I guarantee. B's played on several leagues with me. I can control a whole game and score 6 points, bro.
B.
I ain't got to score.
B, do you remember when Kidd was in the league? Because they're very similar. Were we questioning whether or not Kidd deserved to go? What did he win? Number one? Number two?
I think it was three.
Yeah, I think he was like third pick, yeah.
Were people really questioning him like that?
I don't remember them.
They were questioning the jump shot.
That was it. Because they called him Ace and Kidd because he had a jump shot.
They were questioning his offensive ability.
Not really, because they already knew what he was getting coming out of California.
No, but I mean, like, early on, like, it was either him or somebody else who didn't, it may have been Gary Payton. Who didn't look that good early on.
Yeah, Gary Payton couldn't shoot at all. But we accepted that that's just not who he was as a player.
Right.
Like everything, all those ancillary things that he did is what made him special and unique.
Yeah.
So maybe it is social media era. Maybe
It's a social media era.
Oh, he's a better shooter than Steph Curry. He does see that.
Right.
Okay, well, why are you not averaging 30 then? You just damn good.
Right.
So, that's not his game.
I know you want to talk on bit about Ben Simmons.
Well, hold on. We gotta.
What did y'all cover so far?
We ain't covered anything.
We just started jumping.
And yeah, we covered the
Lakers, and we just talked
Lakers,
about
the stuff. Yep. We covered our picks, from the playoff prediction picks that I sent you.
Oh yeah,
that sent all of us.
You want to brag?
And I mean, we didn't talk about the national championship game.
Yeah, we could talk about that,
man.
Or like stuff. Let's talk about the Final Four because the Final Four haven't ended the national championship.
I ain't watching none of that. Just letting y'all know.
Well, I kind of figured. Didn't I tell y'all? I was like, man, I said, I'm not worried about Virginia or Auburn if we play them. I was worried about Texas Tech, man.
Hey, Texas Tech.
I was worried about that, man. Yeah, man, I was worried. Hey. I'm like, man, I'm worried about this. I said, I hope they win, but because I felt like if we can get past Texas Tech, I think we're going to get a national championship. But, man, I knew that defense was going to be – them boys long, and they were swarming everywhere.
Them boys long. Francis?
Yes.
Hey, he may be –
That's – you know, his dad was Nipsey's – one of Nipsey's
friends. Yeah, Nipsey came to some of their games.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's dope.
Yeah. I was like, man, but yeah, man. It was dope to see Michigan State kind of come back because they got within two.
Yeah, they were close.
Yeah, they got close. They got within two. I'm like, okay, yeah, here we go. And everybody had me on the edge, but –
That offensive foul hurt it.
Ooh, that, and then Texas just came back, hit a three. We came back, we shot a three, missed it. Texas came back, got another basket. It was like under a minute, and it was kind of a wrap after that. I was like, damn, this shit over now. But it was a good game. I mean, and then,
that was a really good game.
That Auburn and Virginia, man, like, that was, talk about bad. I feel so bad, man, for Auburn.
I watched all of the second half, and it was just like,
I know.
How do you miss multiple calls? Like, it's just like the double dribble is one thing. And then honestly, how much they were letting those kids play the whole game, they shouldn't have called that
they
last.
They shouldn't have called that last foul. It was so ticky tack.
Especially them knowing that that's the game.
Yes.
Because it was, what, less than 15 seconds left? Yes,
you got to let that go.
I saw that. He did foul him. He hit his leg, but, and he also didn't allow the jump shooter to land.
That's a foul, man.
But the whole game was played.
But that's a foul.
There was a lot of fouls in that game. But wasn't one like that. My thing is like, if you're not going to call the game hard, don't call the game hard.
Yeah.
But was it a foul like that, though? Because everybody was saying, oh, they, you know, making that same argument. But was that call, that same as that call missed early in the game?
And if that's the case, then why aren't you called a double dribble when two refs are looking at that play the whole
time? Because they thought something else happened, and it didn't. They probably was looking for the foul. Yeah. And then didn't see the ball. And probably thought that the defender tipped the ball, and that's how they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens, because it happens so fast. Like, remember, people didn't know that it was a double dribble until the replay.
Yeah.
You're a ref. I don't give a damn about the fans. You need to know everything.
But you know what, though? Look, that credit to the player, because he kept it moving like ain't nothing
happened. He sure did.
And that's partly why, because you're human, and you look at not just what's happening with the ball and stuff. You look at reactions.
He sold it.
Hey, he was like, oh, shit, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? He got the ref.
What was his name?
Ty Jerome.
Jerome, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew it was something like he had a black name for some reason.
Yeah. Jerome almost cost him that game against Auburn because he turned into like, he started doing hero ball stuff. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Kyle Guy's the one that saved him.
Those are the co-MVPs of this whole season for them because they held it down.
Yeah.
Even though Auburn got cheated, Virginia is still a really good squad.
I didn't want to see Auburn in the finals anyway.
I kind of did.
That was cool. That was cool what we got.
What y'all think about the championship game?
It was a good game.
That was a really good game. I did not expect it to be that good.
I thought it was, because both teams are really good defensively, so I'm thinking it was going to be a 54, 53 type
I thought it was going to be like that one horrible year. It was
UConn and Butler.
Yeah, it was 25-30, and I was like,
they were shooting horrible. Their percentage was horrible. It was like everybody was broke. It was like a lid on top of that rim, man. Yeah. It was horrible. That's the year Kemba Walker played.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was terrible. But yeah, I thought this was going to be a defensive game, and I was actually, the first half was a little slow. The first half was like, I'm like, okay, this is what I expected. But that second half,
boy, they
I don't know if they were just nervous and they just got the nerves out, but they was running. They were both teams were just running and gunning. It was just basket. So when the team make a run, another team made a run. Mm-hmm. So when they make a run, another team made a run. Now, I didn't think it was going to go overtime, but
why did they not let him just shoot the layup?
Yeah.
Why are you defending the 3-point? The guy who was hitting everything second half,
yeah.
You're going to leave him open.
You're going to leave him open.
Because if you watch how they played against Michigan State, if you watch how they play that game, they collapse. That's just part of their defensive.
But it's only what 20-something seconds left.
It's part of their DNA. Yeah. They weren't thinking like their whole thing was to collapse. Anytime somebody drove, everybody like four players collapse in the paint and try to block it. So it was just muscle memory, man.
And he was waiting on that too.
Shout out to Jerome. Yeah. He made a great play because I thought, again, hero ball. I was like, oh, he about to mess it up with that little push shot. Virginia played like they were going to win the game. They played loose. They played confident. They got into their offensive sets a lot easier than I anticipated with Texas Tech swarming defense because I didn't know they got down like that on defense, but they locked Michigan up.
Whoever's their coach.
I was worried. That's why I was worried, really man. I was like, man.
And the thing about it is Virginia looked bad offensively against Auburn. So I was like, how are they going to beat Texas Tech playing like that? Even though I picked them to win, but I think that was against Michigan State. So not against Texas Tech, but either way, I had a feeling that it was just something about Virginia. I just had a feeling that they were going to win. But, man, I think for me, what I wanted to see was Jarrett Culver versus DeAndre Hunter. And that second half delivered. DeAndre Hunter, yes. Because when he played against Auburn, he didn't look all that good.
He didn't. But it was funny because soon when them games was over, that's what people was mentioning. They're like, they want to see that matchup going in. And that second half, man.
I tell you,
that second half was it. That first half was like, oh, okay, nervous jitteries and stuff. But that second half, they put on the show.
Yeah.
And leading into overtime.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy. That was a good game.
Yeah, and I saw DeAndre Hunter's game, which is kind of limited because of the style that you know, Virginia plays. They don't really let guys really shine like that.
And it's not just UVA. It is the NCAA.
I know, hey, but they need his ass in that second half. They gave it to him, and he put in that work. And Jarrett Culver, like, he looked bad in both games, but he made some big, big shots in the second half and down the stretch. Like, he closed out Michigan State.
Yeah, he did.
He closed them boys out. And he almost closed out Virginia last night. So, but he just made a couple of bad decisions, like to take that three to win it. And then, which, I mean, it was a tie situation, so, you know, worst case, you go to overtime. But he probably could have dribbled because he had put a move on DeAndre Hunter to give him the go-ahead lead. Yeah, go-ahead bucket. So, overall, it was a great game. I'm glad it was good because a lot of people went in with expectation that it was going to be bad, so I'm glad it delivered.
Me too.
And we got a chance to see NBA players, you know, play on the big stage.
And shout out to the athletic director for Virginia. She's a black woman, right?
Yeah. Both of them black, I think.
Well, there was the black man for Auburn.
Yeah. Auburn and the black woman.
Yeah. Shout out to the queen.
Yeah.
Shout out to the
got
queen.
Got a ring.
Mm-hmm.
So. Ken, how you feeling today, man?
Oh, I'm straight. Why? What's going on?
Hey, you already know, this is your boy. This is
man.
I knew that's where you were going. So you said, "Ken, how you feeling today, man?"
Man, I was this morning. I was online. Like, I think I tweeted out the link that I can't remember the guy's name that wrote the article about Dwayne Wade. But I was just watching highlights.
Did you watch that Budweiser commercial?
I didn't watch the Budweiser yet.
Yeah, that's the one I sent. That's the one I texted.
That's definitely going to get you then.
I haven't watched it yet, but his son announced him out onto the court.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which one?
Zaire? Yeah, the oldest one. Yeah, he announced him out to the court, which I haven't watched it yet and listened to it, but I'm a peep it though. But he got off at 30, last home game. They beat Sixers,
of course.
Too. They beat the Sixers, too.
Yeah, I saw Dirk got 10 in the first quarter in his last game.
Dirk is done?
I've never heard him say, all right, this is my last. Like, giving him, like, the goodbye, but, like, I'm like,
he hasn't
never
announced.
He never officially announced that he's retiring.
I thought I heard him say, I might come back next year.
Yeah.
I
think he was going to come back and play with the young boys, with Porzingis and Luka.
He looked like, I ain't got shit else to do. I ain't trying to go home.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, Wade kind of gave, like, we've seen him kind of slowly, you know, dim the light for the last couple of seasons. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't like a sudden retirement, but it was just fun, like, watching all of his game-winning buckets and some of his big plays and just revisiting, like the Heat taking a chance on him because of his performance at Marquette to take them to the Final Four. And looking at the players that was drafted after him, TJ Ford, Chris Kaman, were two of the ones that I can remember. That turned out to be nothing.
We're going
to
look it up.
Oh, that's what I was
going to say. Look it up. Yeah, so, and you know, Dwayne was sort of considered a reach compared to the other prospects, but watching, I think it was the top 25 plays from LeBron.
I got it, too.
And Dwayne, LeBron and
Wade was picked
career.
Fifth, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Wade was the fifth pick. Sixth pick was Chris Kaman. Chris Kaman. Seventh pick was Kurt Heinrich.
Let me pause you right there. Kurt Heinrich was like a top three point guard at one time. Let's be honest.
Did he? He played well.
Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah. He was on that Carmelo squad when they won the championship. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Syracuse. Oh, I forgot the white boy that was playing on there.
Nick Collison.
TJ Ford, Michael Sweeney, Jarvis Hayes, Michael Pietrus, Nick Collison, Marcus Banks, Luke Rignar. I remember him. Reese Gaines, Troy Bell.
Bench players now.
Look at this. David West was picked 18th. Sasha Pavlovic. I think I remember him.
Yeah, played with for the Lakers.
Yeah,
Pavlovic. Oh, not Vujicic. Yeah.
Dante Jones, Boris Diaw. Wow, Travis Outlaw, Brian Cook, Carlos Delfino. Yeah, Kendrick Perkins. Yeah, and then that second.
Imagine
Barbosa.
Barbosa. He had a run.
Josh Howard had like about a good 2 or 3 year run.
But none of them were Wade though.
Right. No, none of them were Wade.
Luke Walton was second round. And, Jason Capone.
Jason Capone stayed around for a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
Steve Blake
sure got them checks. Zaza. Them checks.
Hell no.
Damn, Steve Blake. Mo Williams. Blazers.
Keith Bogans got some checks.
Yep.
Matt Bonner definitely got some checks.
Kyle Korver? Damn, Kyle Korver was on that draft?
That was that draft filled out like rosters on the in the NBA for years to come.
This is the 2003 draft.
James Jones. James Jones was in that draft.
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy.
But I think LeBron and Wade may be like top three duo of all time.
Yes.
Just duos in general?
Yes.
Top three duo of all times.
Wade really brought out the best in LeBron.
He sure did. Because you know what? It was the first time in LeBron's career that somebody physically could compete on his level that he had to play with.
At that time, yeah.
At that time. Because you remember that first year in Miami when D-Wade still had the young legs?
Man.
Ooh. Man, look, I ain't never seen no damn football pass alley-oop. I ain't never seen that.
Watch the top 25 highlights, man. There was one play, Wade literally got the ball, stepped out of bounds, stepped on the court, and tossed it full court. They were throwing full court alley-oops.
Yeah, I never seen that before.
It was, bro, it was special.
And then their defensive intensity. Because I think they both knew, like, okay, we don't know how really this is going to work offensively, but guess what? If we can get the ball turned over – and we can run on these boys.
As soon as you get a turnover, it's a race.
It's a race to the basket. And ain't nobody beating. I know already in D Wade's mentality is ain't nobody getting me. And if they ain't getting me, they ain't getting my boy.
I remember when they first made that announcement, when the whole, you know, not one, not two, not three. I think everybody in the world, but especially me, I was like, this seems like a cheat code. It just seemed like, because you knew everything that was going, like you just need to see it, but you knew like they about to just run the league for the next forever on this contract.
Went to four straight finals.
Yeah.
In that run, you know, with two championships to say, you know.
They should have won more, but.
Yeah.
They top five, I won't say three.
They should have won three out of those four. The one that San Antonio ran them off the court, I give them that one.
When they beat
them. They were on their way out.
They
didn't want
to play with each other at that point, I think.
And to me, the Dallas one, that should have been the gimme. But not only did LeBron not play well, Spoelstra got out coached that series.
And I forgot he averaged 39-9 or something like that the series before they went to Dallas.
LeBron, right?
LeBron.
Yeah.
Because they faced Boston or Chicago?
No, I want to say it was Chicago. In the Eastern Conference Finals? Or was it the second round?
Or was it Boston? What we got beat?
I think it was Boston. I think
I think it may have been Chicago. I think that was MVP
D-Rose MVP year. That was D-Rose MVP year. Was the first year LeBron went to Miami.
Because they had a
2010-2011.
Because they had a great comeback in one of those games against Chicago.
The season that they lost to Dallas?
The year.
Who they played in the Eastern Rose Conference MVP Finals?
Year? Yeah, I think that was D-Rose because LeBron locked him down.
And look at the highlights of D-Rose in that damn series. LeBron did the best job.
Yeah.
Couldn't nobody stay in front of D-Rose?
So the 2011 playoffs, the year that they lost to Dallas, Miami beat Boston and they beat Boston in the conference semifinals and then they beat Chicago in the conference finals. Four games to one.
Yep. Yep.
And because
they lost the first game, I think.
They lost the first game and they won the four straight.
Was that the game that Rose made that game winner and
That's years.
That's years.
Okay. You saw the fadeaway
thing? Yeah.
No, that's years.
No, I'm talking about the one where he got lifted up and he just had no facial.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, that was years later.
That was what? Okay.
Yeah.
That was in that.
Yeah, but I remember that. They had a. Because it was one game they were losing and they went on like a 13-0 run in like the last couple of minutes in that game to steal that game away from Chicago. They gave us like at least three for show best years in the NBA history when they played together.
All right, I'm gonna let revive.
You don't think, man?
It's arguable.
Yes, bro.
So let's talk about the best dynamic duels. Obviously, Scotty and Pip is up there.
Scotty and Jordan.
Pip and Mike, right? They up there.
Kobe
and Shaq.
Would you say Kareem, Magic?
Yes. They got to be put up there.
Would you say
Stephen Clay?
Would you say Stockton, Malone?
We got to put them up there.
Stephen Clay is a good one.
I thought I was going to say Stephen KD.
Nah, Stephen.
Nah, no.
You wouldn't count them as a duo?
Nah.
Stephen Clay.
Stephen Clay.
To me, and this sounds crazy, but I think the limitations that Clay has in his game actually helps out Steph more than how much KD can do.
Bird and McHale?
That makes sense.
Bird and who?
McHale.
Maybe top 10.
Shaq and Stud. I mean, sorry, Penny. Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
Maybe top 25.
They made Western Conference Finals.
That was what they did. They changed the league in a way.
I put Zeke and Joe over Nash and
I'm just naming duo.
Shaq and Penny.
Were they?
They weren't that together that long.
They were a duo though.
They were swept in the finals though.
They was young. Three to five.
But did they get down like Kobe? Like Kobe and Shaq? Like when I think of duos.
Hold on. We're disrespecting a major duo. GP and the Rayman. We disrespect them.
Oh yeah, like,
that's a major duo. That was a good one too.
GP and Sean Kemp.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Rayman. For the youngins that don't know.
I wish my dad was here. I know he had named somebody there.
I know Magic Kareem, definitely. I would Shaq and Kobe, like, they gave us some great years as a duo.
That's what I was saying. That's why when you were saying top three, I was like, I don't know, because you got Shaq, Kobe, Mike, and Pip. And then I would probably say Kareem. Like, that's probably top three for me right there.
Man, but LeBron and Dwayne put on a show.
They put on they five. I was giving them either the fifth slot or somewhere in between.
They up there. It's arguable. It's up there.
I'll give me.
Because that whole thing where that meme or picture that of Wade just. And then LeBron just throwing it down. It's like, man. That's classic.
Iconic.
And I already know you got that posted up somewhere in your bedroom.
Come on, man. Like. Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, Wade, and Showtime, Kareem and Magic.
Yeah, I think that's how.
Kareem and Magic. Yeah. Like Scottie and Pippen, I don't remember them
MJ.
Yes.
Yeah, I know I did.
Scottie and MJ. Like, they were a great duo.
They gave you moments. If you talk about moments, they gave you moments.
Did they, though? In terms of winning championship as a duo, yes, in terms of winning.
I'm going to say something that. To me, distinguishes MJ and Pip and LeBron and D-Wade. And this is why I put them on the same level. I've never seen another duo say, we're going to shut y'all down and raise our offensive game. And it don't matter what you do, we're going to win outside of those two duos. Because
that's fair.
Because
I can see that.
How did you see Jordan play back in the day? Kind of, sort of. Okay. Yeah, you know. But either way. Like, when I go back into the memory bank, and even when I watch YouTube, you could just see the intensity in Scottie Pippen and Jordan's face.
Oh, 100%.
And when they raised it,
you weren't
it was nothing you can do. You wasn't going to score. Jordan was going to get every shot he wanted. It was just nothing you can do.
And that's when I think of the dynamic duos, I'm thinking of it from a basketball fan. Not just like, because I think your list would be great if it was just like anybody watching basketball. Like, who would you like those eras? Like, it's fun to watch. Like, even if you're not a real big fan of the game, like watching LeBron and Wade is like great.
Mm-hmm. And I'm coming from a Showtime, a pure basketball. But as far as the list would be different.
What FIFO was saying is like, that's a pure basketball fan of I want to see the best.
Real quick, I just put up this list. They had the 25 best NBA duos in history. This was written in September of 2013. I'm just run them down real quick. At 25, Alonzo and Larry Johnson from 92 to 95. At 24, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. At 23, Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, 92-96. At 22, Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, 95 to 2001.
Yes, them Miami Heat squads was nice. 21,
Kobe and Pau Gasol, 2007 to 2000.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah,
at 20,
they won a chip. Couple of them.
My dad appreciate this one. At 20, Oscar Robertson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right. They did play Milwaukee.
They won championship.
They won one chip together.
Yep. That was the only chip Oscar got too, because he knew. My dad said he knew he was about to get a chip when Kareem got there. At 19, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. At 18, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. At 17, Wilt Chamberlain, Al Greer. At 16, Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler.
Ooh, yes. I was thinking about that one.
At 15, Patrick Ewing, John Starks.
I don't know about that one.
They were a dynamic duo, but not that high.
At 14, Shaq and Penny.
Yep.
At 13, Julius Erving, Moses Malone. My dad would love that one. Julius Erving and Moses Malone. That's they were from 82 to 86. Number 12, Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars. Number 11, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan. Number 10, John Havlicek and Dave Cohen. Oh, my dad would hate that one. At number 9, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade.
Oh, they disrespected him.
At number 8, that's who we got. Number 8, Walt Frazier, Willis Reed.
Yeah, they are.
at number 7, ooh, my dad would love this one, Jerry West and Will Chamberlain. At number 6, John Stockton, Karl Malone. At number 5, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale. At number 4, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
We know who number 1 is then.
Number 3, Kobe, Bryant, and Shaquille.
Yeah, see, now they disrespected number, my guy, LeBron and D-Wade.
Number 2, Bill Russell, Bob Cousy. Yes, because they won all the
Bill
shit
Russell,
together.
Bob Cousy.
Yeah, bro, 16 championship shit. Yeah.
And then at number 1, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
See, LeBron should be higher. Yes, Bob Cousy and them should be 10 because you got to respect the chips. Yeah. But different era.
Bob Cousy is number 15.
No, that's disrespectful.
That's
I feel you, man. No, I feel you, but
Bill Russell got down, bro.
He did.
Bill Russell got harassed by Wilt.
Bill, nah. Yo, okay, give me one person.
Everybody else was white.
There was a lot of black players in the league.
You're the only black man in the league. You're the Babe Ruth of the league at the time.
But yeah, that LeBron, they should at least be 8, but 9? Dang.
They top 10.
I mean, yeah, but 9? But and that was for 2013. I wonder now what it would look like. So, but
because I think you have to consider CP and James Harden
already. Nah,
3 years.
I wouldn't put them in. They've been two. What moments have they given you?
I feel, but neither these guys don't never give us no playoff moments. So you know, you're talking about two non-moment given players on the same squad. So you know, but in the regular season, they've been dynamic.
I just don't look at them as a duo yet. Yeah, I don't know why.
It hasn't set in yet.
I feel you. It's because they don't necessarily play together. It's James Harden squad, and then it's CP squad.
I'll put Melo and AI before I play.
Disrespectful.
Hey, Melo and AI together in Denver.
Melo and Chauncey Billups.
Hey, so wait a minute. So let's do this exercise. Current NBA duos. Like, who do we see?
Predictions?
Who's in the NBA right now, and what are the predictions?
Or what's their best duo, right? Because every team does have their top two players.
True.
So, like, so if we Dame look at Milwaukee. CJ? Huh?
Dame, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, Chris Middleton and Giannis.
Oh, yep, that's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? Houston, CP3.
So, we'll do CP3 James, yep.
OKC, Paul George and Russ. Westbrook. And Golden State, it is Steph and KD. The two Steph and KD now. So let's go to like a fun team, Sacramento.
Buddy Hield
over De'Aaron.
Ooh man,
I think it will be De'Aaron and
so right now
and Bagley is Buddy.
Bagley and Buddy.
Right, I would say De'Aaron and Bagley.
Not Bagley too soon. It will be Fox and Bagley. Buddy Hield.
And who?
Bagley.
And Fox?
Fox.
Ooh, I don't know. Bagley got more in the bag early.
Mitchell and Gobert?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Nah, Joe Ingles.
I love him, though.
I do.
I love him, Joe. I love him. He can play on my squad any day.
Joe the Plumber.
Kyrie and who else at Boston?
It's like Kyrie and Tatum, right?
It's just Horford. Kyrie. Kyrie and Kyrie.
Kyrie and Irving. Yeah.
Ben Simmons and Joel?
Yes.
I'll say Jimmy
and Joel, if anything.
Because I'm going back to last year, too. This year. Jimmy,
I thought he was just going this year.
I mean, I'm just... We're going to talk about Ben Simmons, but I'll still go Ben Simmons because I don't think Jimmy's going to be there. I haven't seen Jimmy take that second role.
You know what's funny? I've seen more moments from Jimmy Butler with the Sixers than Ben Simmons.
That's disrespectful.
John Wall, Bradley Beal?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know Bradley Beal feel like they the second best duo.
He can feel that way.
They could be. They really could be.
Yeah, they could be.
Yeah.
You know what potential means? It means you ain't done nothing.
The Raptors.
Ooh. I would say Kawhi and Lowry.
Yeah, Lowry.
Yeah.
Or Siakam.
It's Lowry. You think so?
Yeah, right now it's Lowry. Siakam need to have a damn good playoff run. And he need to come back next year and be damn near 20.
So we showing respect to the OG.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's Denver's dynamic do?
Joker. Murray. And... Murray.
Yeah.
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 What's Chicago's dynamic doing?
Zach, Zach Levine and Otto Porter.
I was going to say MJ and Pippen.
Oh, no, no, no.
Large.
Marketing. They got nobody.
Large Marketing and Zach Levine.
Charlotte. Charlotte. Where's Charlotte?
Kemba and Lamb.
Yep.
Jeremy Lamb.
Jeremy Lamb.
You already said Milwaukee. Indiana, Victor, and who?
Miles Turner.
Yeah, I was about to say
Miles Turner.
Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, Miles Turner.
Yeah, Miles Turner, nice.
Miles Turner be home.
I know he is, but.
Who else?
Who you going to be? Thaddeus Young?
Bogdanovich?
You ain't never picking nobody named Thaddeus.
What's the Sabonis kid?
The Montes, but he not better than Miles.
All right, fine, Miles. I like Miles.
Brooklyn Nets.
D'Angelo.
And Karis.
Karis LeVert?
I thought you were going to say Allen.
Nah.
Okay.
Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, Trey and John Collins, easy.
Yes.
Orlando.
The Aaron Gordon of Blake Griffin and
not Isaac Vucevic.
Yeah, yeah.
Minnesota. Wiggins and Towns.
The underwhelming dynamic duo.
Wiggins Towns and Wiggins.
Towns and Wiggins.
New Orleans.
Who? Julius Randle and Drew Holiday.
Yep.
I was going to say
Anthony Davis.
I was going to say AD.
Hey, what did he have on his shirt today? That's all, folks.
Oh, that's
he out of there.
Damn, yeah. He's only Tuesday.
He wore this.
Oh,
all.
He did?
Yes, he did. That's today? All, folks. But it definitely is Anthony Davis. Okay. But
Phoenix.
Devin Booker, you already know. DeAndre Ayton.
I think that's a real New York. Who the Knicks?
Phil Jackson.
I'm about to say. No.
Nicolina.
You talking about Mitchell Robinson?
Mitchell Robinson.
Kevin Knox?
No, the point guard.
Moutier?
Oh, Dennis Smith?
Dennis Smith.
Okay, Cleveland.
Shit. I was going to say.
Sexton.
And the bench.
No.
And Larry Nance.
No, K-Love.
Oh, ooh, shit, yeah. I forgot about K-Love.
And Seti. That's who I'm going with, Jetty.
I like Jetty.
Memphis.
Connelly. And who's the rookie they got?
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Jaren Jackson Jr. Now that they got rid of Gasol.
And then Dallas. Dallas is the last one.
Luka. Oh, you already know the youngins.
Luka and Porzingis.
And KP.
Yep.
And Clippers.
Ooh, this is.
That's TBA.
Yeah, it don't matter.
That's to be announced.
Just pick two. Well, okay, obviously, Lou. Don't disrespect Lou.
Nah, Lou Will.
Lou is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, Lou Will and Gallinari?
Yeah.
What about the what's Pistons. His name? The rookie,
Shaq Alexander? Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, you talking about the two guard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no.
Shaq.
Last team, the Pistons.
The Pistons. Oh, the two biggins,
Drummond and Blake.
Yeah,
yeah.
Two biggins.
You forgot the Spurs, but that's easy.
Yeah, that is.
DeRozan and
Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's the duos.
Now you forgot one thing too. The Lakers.
Oh, we didn't do the Heat.
I mean, who else in the Heat? Would you put Hassan point guard?
No, give me Winslow.
Drag
Winslow.
Winslow.
Give me D Wade number one. Give me D Wade.
Still playing. Give me yes. What's
Dragic? He's their best player?
Dragic. Nah, yeah, you could give me Dragic. I was thinking
Winslow, man. Winslow been,
Johnson.
He could be Tyler Johnson.
No.
I may be thinking
James Johnson. I'm telling y'all, Winslow,
the big black guy.
No. He's small.
I got it. Winslow and Bam.
Bam Adebayo.
Yep.
They not better than D-Wade.
I mean, okay, we can throw Wade and Winslow.
It don't matter. Wade and whoever.
Yeah.
Wade County.
Winslow coming along, man.
Lakers.
I'm not saying.
Lakers. Nah, I say Bron and Kuzma for Lakers.
Just saying.
LeBron's all right. That's what I'm going with.
Bron and Ingram.
Ken, I didn't.
That man got a blood clot.
Oh, shit. I think that's everybody.
Yeah,
I think that's everybody.
Squads.
It's some iffy though. Woo.
Yeah.
Woo. Some teams got some work to do in the draft.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
What else we got?
You say you want to talk about Ben?
Yeah, I'm worried, man.
Like people, I got some concerns.
I was gonna say, did you want to talk about Ben or hit some of this NFL stuff?
Let me get this Ben out.
All right.
Because I'm worried. Then we can speed through the NFL. Man, I don't know if it's Harris or Jimmy, but Ben just don't look the same, bro. He putting up the numbers, which he can do when he step on the court, but he just don't look like a superstar like he did last year. What's going on?
What I say? I feel like y'all come to my side begrudgingly, but y'all come. I've been saying I was calling Ben Simmons out early. You kept on repeating 3-5, 3-5.
And I'm like, bro, there's something that just don't seem right about this.
Wait,
game.
Hold on. This is post-trade, though. Pre-trade, he was still.
This was me in general, though.
I know, but I'm saying that post-trade is where my concerns are coming
since
from.
Since Tobias Harris got
no, there. But yes. I'm saying because of.
Well, but you're saying in general. I disagree with you. You're wrong. But post-trade, you're starting.
I don't see how you could disagree with me because he's got more talent. You should see more out of him.
And that's what I'm saying. I saw it before the trade. I saw all of the talent. I saw all of the talent last year. You saying you didn't see that talent last year?
No, I'm not saying I didn't see talent. I'm just saying I don't see progression.
Yes.
That's fine. Everybody criticizes him about his jump shot.
But if you surround him with better talent, like I've seen players.
They're saying the same thing about Giannis' jump shot.
No, but I've seen him surrounded with talent and he's progressed.
But here's the thing, though. Giannis has added other things in his
game. How long has Giannis been in?
No. Okay. You already know. You already know.
Thank you.
You're talking to Mr. Theory over here, okay. Mr. 3-5. So you already
That's
know
why I'm not judging him on that because it's only his second year.
But the thing is that when your floor is so high, anything you add is going to jump off the screen. And he hasn't added a damn thing.
You know why?
Why?
Because he was a superstar last year and he behaved like one, hanging out with the Kardashians.
But you know what, though, Ken? Look, at the end of the day, what round of the playoffs did they get
second?
You got?
First round. No, second round.
Yeah, because they beat Miami in the first round. They lost to Boston. And they lost in a way that should make you want to run it back. Because you were young and inexperienced, and that team took advantage of you, right?
Gotcha.
They had some last second meltdowns. I was like, "Yo, what is going on?" Right? For me as a basketball player, I want to play that squad again. Y'all not better than us, right? So he's supposed to take that approach into this upcoming offseason or the offseason that he's just coming out of. Go into the lab and work on something. What it is, we already know. Should be the damn jump shot. But you can't get a jump shot in one offseason. However, the foundations, the makings of you starting to add that to your game, we should see more often. I'm not saying it should be consistent yet, but we should see the moves to get him into a jump shot. We should see the willingness to take open jump shots.
Make me respect something
about
you.
You know what I'm saying? And think about it. I'm not asking much because how can I criticize somebody that already can do it all? Just add the willingness because that's a big void in the game. And you know who else I had the same criticism for? And I told y'all in the summertime, right? What's the games before the regular games? Preseason. When Blake Griffin added the jump shot. I saw that in his free throws. I saw the rhythm in his free throws. And once I saw that, I saw the differences in the game. Shots that he would normally not take, he started to take. Then remember with the other criticism I had, you get the ball, you're not catch and shoot. You're always waiting. What is he doing now? Catch it. So we saw all of the little things that you have to add. There's a progression. He needs to start taking jump shots. It don't have to go down.
No, I feel you. And I understand that. And I know that. Well, we'll see if that happens in the offseason. I don't know yet. But nevertheless, what I saw last year when Embiid was out was I saw everything that we thought he was supposed to be, what he has. We saw it. We seen it this year before Jimmy and Tobias got there. To me, it's coming across, outside of his game, it's coming across as if Embiid is the biggest alpha on that team.
He is.
And he's drowning out Ben Simmons.
It's not Joel Embiid. It's the other additions that they added to
the squad.
He
don't play well with others. That's what it's looking like.
Get out of here with that. The difference is, right, like you know how when you build a team, it's like building a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
What attributes and things mesh well with other attributes? What is Ben Simmons' greatest attribute?
Passing.
Right. Playmaking, even beyond passing. Playmaking, right? How many guys need to be playmade for in that starting lineup?
Not many. If who?
JJ.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Jimmy Buckets going to go get buckets.
Tobias Harris.
Tobias going to go get his. And we already know what Joel Embiid going to do. They don't, the way they're constructed, they don't need the best of Ben Simmons anymore.
And that's where my concerns lie.
But here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, I always take a guy that makes other guys better.
Oh, I will.
So, and even in the playoffs, and that's why I'm not concerned about it. Matter of fact, I'm actually, I like how they are constructed.
Okay.
Because the thing is that it's going to force Ben, he has to start taking jumpers. Forget making them. He got to start taking them.
Because now he looks like a liability. Because if no one else needs to be made a play, everybody's just going to look at you. Because we're going to cover our guys, so you're not going to have anybody really cutting and doing all that other stuff to give you an assist. It's going to be more about you
taking over. He's going to get open shots. Exactly. He's going to get open shots. We already know he makes great decisions with the basketball. We know that. So I'm not worried about when he's open. Oh, what do I do? He's not going to freeze. Take the damn shot or go dunk.
And it's not even just taking a shot. It's the confidence of the shot. You could tell when he's just like, I'm just gonna shoot this up because the time is.
He started to take some though.
But it's like, for me, it's like the progression would have been a floater. And I think maybe you said it earlier in previous episodes, but I think a floater is always the progression of getting close to a jump shot.
But here's the thing. The reason why I don't think he needs a floater, the same reason why LeBron is just now kind of sort of displaying a floater, is because when you can go to the rim like that, you didn't float this in your
mouth. But he can't go
to the rim like that because of Embiid. And be like him going to rim clogs the rim for the most part.
Okay, but Embiid does operate, I would say, at about maybe 30-40% rate outside of the paint.
Yes, but we've seen that doesn't benefit the team when he is always outside of the paint.
Of course, but at the end of the day, basketball is give and take, and you can't have anything perfect. And because Ben Simmons' best attribute is playmaking and passing, even if Embiid is down there. If Embiid guys come to me, I'm throwing lobs, I'm up and under. So that's irrelevant. I think the biggest problem with Ben Simmons' game right now, especially, I know where your concerns are coming from, because Ben Simmons is going to find himself open a lot in these playoffs. A lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be up to Brett Brown how to hide him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going to be up to Ben Simmons. I got to take these jumpers. I got to make at least 38% and 40% of these things because you can't just leave me out here. You like that's highly disrespectful. You just can't leave me out here 15 feet and nobody guarding me. You know what I'm saying? He got to take and make those. He got to.
Yeah, because now they use him in the post in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know,
and he don't really have post moves. Unless you're just bigger, just throwing athletic. Around.
Yeah,
but it kind of works. Like, we've seen him get offensive rebounds. We've seen him make plays from there. When you have natural talent like that, it don't matter where they put you. You're going to make the ball. You're attracted to the ball. When you play with skill, good luck will happen.
Right.
My main concern, the reason why I put so much pressure on now, because even though I do agree with your 3-5, that's their window right now is 3-5, right?
Their window's bigger than that.
I don't think their window's that big.
Why not?
Because I think their parts are going to move.
Okay. But at the end of the day.
You still got. Well, go ahead. You still got a B, bro.
Exactly. At the end of the day, your window is based on your core. Who would you say Philly's core is?
Right now is Simmons and Embiid. Mm-hmm. But that's not enough.
No. I understand that. However, when you have those two guys, you are competing for championships, regardless of the other pieces you put around.
You're so competing. I don't know if it's for championships, with just those two.
Oh, with Embiid, you're competing for championships.
No, I'm saying. Championship teams now that are constructed, this is not like how it was back in the day where you needed two guys. I think you need at least three guys.
I understand
now.
That. But understand, right? Like, we see other dynamic duos. We just talked about them. Houston, mm-hmm. OKC. There's a lot of teams, San Antonio, that only have two, right? And all I'm saying is that because these guys are so young, they have another 7-12 years ahead of them playing at a very high level. That's all I'm saying.
But everybody else is young, too.
No, I understand that. But because you have those two, all you need is one more. And you can always move guys around. Yeah. You're always going to have enough salary cap flexibility, financial flexibility to move stuff around to get one guy. You can always do that. Yeah. So once you have two guys and that's your core, you're good, you're set regardless of however many pieces move around them.
I think
look at OKC. How many pieces do move? And who's the one constant? Russ. And we're still in the playoffs, maybe not competing for championships, but we're still there. But they only got two guys.
I'll give you one better. Look at the Bucks. They really only got one guy. We threw Middleton in there because he can play.
I would say the difference between Philly and the Bucks is, well, for one, coaching.
Yes.
And Two, everybody on that team knows their place and knows how to play together.
But that speaks to what he's saying. Once you have the core or your guy, Giannis, Embiid, the rest is up to the GM to do the parts that you're speaking to, the coach, and building and roster construction.
But so are you saying right now, who's, I guess the question I'm asking, who's more important to the core, Embiid or Simmons?
And that's where I was going to kind of go where you were slightly going, or the thing that concerns me about this core. To answer your question, Embiid. But my concern would be, if it's going to be both, I don't think Simmons is going to be there because I think he's going to want his own team. I think he's going to go full Kyrie.
I would give up Embiid. I would give up Simmons to get some other pieces.
Okay, so I'm not trading Simmons. That's number one.
Let me throw this trade idea out there. Right. Let's say Phoenix gets one or two. Number one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Philly. Let's say Philly doesn't make it. They don't get to the finals this year. They just somehow either the Eastern Conference Finals or they get knocked out second round. Let's say Philly dangles like you know what that John Morant kid. I like him. I can see him doing some things here.
Mm-hmm.
They call up Phoenix and say, "Would you give up your first and second round pick, first and second overall pick for Simmons? Would you not make that trade?" For J. Morant.
If I'm Philly, I'm saying no, because Ben Simmons has things that you can't coach. 6'10" frame. When he puts on the Jets, I knew he was fast, but I didn't realize how fast it was when he's like, I got to go get this ball. I got to go chase down this guy. He made some plays. I can't remember who I was watching him, who they were playing against. And I was like, God damn, he fast. So he just physically has some things that you cannot teach that I will not give up.
Yeah, I
and for
make that trade.
For that reason alone, I'm not trading him.
Hell no.
Nope. And here's the thing.
Especially if the only thing he's if the only thing he's missing is a jumper, hell no.
But Morant comes in the league with a jumper.
Morant
already distributes and he can rebound.
Here's the thing. He fits Philly's current roster construction better than Ben Simmons. I give you that. Because Ja can be a scorer when he wants to. You know, just like CP. CP can dominate a game, score 14 points, and then the next game score 50. You know, and there was nothing you can do about it. He was just going to go get. Ja is that type of player, and I think at point guard, that's what they kind of need, right? Because like I said, everybody can go get their own shots. So at times you're going to have to double Embiid, double Jimmy, which leaves a Ben Simmons or the point guard on the team open. Ja would dominate in that role. You know what I'm saying? So I think he fits better, but because Ben just has things you can't, I'm not getting rid of Ben.
Because remember, this is why it felt like Ben Simmons have just disappeared in the NBA. Last year, all they did was talk about Ben Simmons. This year, they barely even talk about the guy. But at the end of the day, he was supposed to be the next LeBron.
My thing is also with Philly, we forget that this season also they gave up on a first-round pick, number one overall.
And we know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when I threw out that trade idea, it's like them giving up on Simmons wouldn't be that big, especially.
Yeah, but you know why they get they're not well. Fultz is different though.
Yeah, see because
we haven't Ben Simmons is not displaying.
I'm not saying he's like Fultz, but I'm just saying like
Fultz was holding them back, and that was the problem
because he was supposed to be kind of what you were saying about Ja.
Exactly. Because now if Markelle Fultz at 100% capacity plays with Ben, that's different. Because you're talking about a guy that, you know, obviously you would bring JJ off the bench to me. If Markelle Fultz was at 100%, he progressed over last year and he's doing better. Because Markelle can now shoot the three. He can also drive. He can also play make. So that means that now there's a guy creating plays for Ben. You see what I'm saying? Because the way this team is currently constructed, Ben either creates the plays or he just kind of makes, you know, gets offensive rebound or something like that. But there's no guy that's going to hook him up.
What you think going on with Ben Simmons, B?
I think he just – I don't know if he kind of finds his spot offensively since Tobias Harris got there, because I do agree with you. I think since Tobias Harris got there, I think it kind of like – shoved him back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he still needs to work on his jump shot, but I think it's not giving him no wiggle room to kind of be a little bit more aggressive offensively since Tobias Harris got there. Because, yeah, you hit it right on there. Before Tobias got there, I'm like, yeah, Ben Simmons is still a key figure on this squad, even though he's still a key figure because he's still considered like part of the duo with him and Joel, in my opinion. But, yeah, I feel like since Tobias Harris got there, it's just been – he just been taking a step back, and I don't know what's I don't know if he just can't, he's not finding his spot in the offense or what. I don't know what it is.
To me, you gotta it kind of looks like, where's the dog in them too? Where as far as like, why are you so passive with this great amount? Like with this is the best talent he's probably ever gonna have in his career,
it's
maybe.
It's too early. I mean, it's too early.
I'm just saying, but like, the opportunity is now.
Year NBA, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's not a second year. It's his third year.
As a player.
Redshirted his first year.
This is his second year. But
I'm just saying, like, this is.
He got the dog. We saw it last year. It's there. I think B is right. It's easier when you're the man. Now is
everybody knows that being the man is not enough, right? Everybody knows that you need complementary parts, other stars to play with. So you have that now. You're in the East. This is the prime time for you all to. You're young, right. The prime time for you to dominate. You have veterans.
You have Butler and Tobias Harris coming into the equation.
You have veterans. You have youth. You have pretty much everything you need to succeed, and yet you are being regressive in ways that we all predict. Like it's kind of like, what's going on? Like, you guys are supposed, like, they're losing to the Heat. They have a losing record against most of the playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. It's like, what's really going on? And that's where my concern is. Like, if this guy ain't the guy, then let's fix this now, because I think that window ain't as big as y'all think.
It all hinges on Embiid's health. That's number one. Their window. It all rests there. I think that there are some question marks outside of the talent and players that need to be questioned and evaluated during this playoff run. Brett Brown can't get out coached. He cannot get out coached. He got to put his guys in position. Now, if the guys mess up, that's one thing. But he has got to prove. You know, that I think a lot of people forget he was a Popovich disciple. Mm-hmm. And the best Popovich disciple so far has been Coach Bud. You know what I'm saying? I think he has to be able to execute on the X and O level at that level. You know what I'm saying? We've seen Bud do it with two teams now. Go from middle, barely making playoffs. We don't change much. We got 60-plus wins. That's mm-hmm. very Popovich-like to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think Bud has to be evaluated. I think how he uses Ben Simmons. I don't know about using him in the post like that in fourth quarters of a playoff game, how effective that's going to be. You know, like, does he play TJ? Like, I think there's a lot that Philly still needs to figure out. And we also know that in the playoffs, it's all about matchups. So some of these things.
Matchups and coaching.
Exactly. So some of these things that we feel are possible problems may not be, depending on who they're playing against.
Right.
So that's why I still hold Philly in high regard, because when you look at a starting five outside of Golden State, who has more talent?
Exactly.
So I'm not going to be as hard on Philly right now like you are. To me, I got to see the playoffs, because I think they're playoff built. I really do. You got a couple isolation guys that can go get buckets when you need them mm-hmm. get buckets. You got clutch guys. Your big man shoots high percentage from the free throw line, and he's super dominant, arguably the most dominant player in the NBA, arguably. You know what I'm saying? So playoff-wise, they're built for that, and I think they can go far.
And I think you said it, how is Brett Brown going to use him?
And
I think that's why we see him Ben struggle.
And that's why, like, I gave him this. I have the same expectations for Philly like I do with Boston. They can get knocked out first round, won't be surprised. They can get to the finals, and I won't be surprised.
All right. So what's up with the NFL?
Where do you want to start? Kyle, definitely want to touch on this AB Juju situation.
Told y'all, trade him.
So I kind of heard. So I know they were going back and forth on Twitter, but I don't know what was said.
basically, Juju really ain't even been saying much. Like, Juju, basically, what happened was
he won like team MVP.
He won team MVP.
And, Antonio Brown was like, "Man, you've been fumbling the ball in the games that mattered the most.
Yeah, whatever, you fumbled the season away.
Fumbled the season away." And then Antonio Brown went and put up a old like DM message that he sent. That Juju sent to Antonio Brown before he was coming to league, like, "Hey, I look up to you, and is there any advice you can give me and stuff?" And Antonio Brown was just being petty and showing him that message.
And all Juju said was like, "Damn, like I've been showing you love since I got in the league. Like I was genuinely happy when you got your contract in Oakland,
right?
And then you gonna say all this stuff about me? Like, what's going on with that?" And now it's really just bad publicity on AB part because it was just like.
Why are you still talking about the Steelers
in the first place?
Like, you ain't a part of that organization no more. Like, focus on what you got.
You in California now.
Right.
You got paid.
You happy.
Why are you worried about that?
Yeah. Focus on the positive.
Homie. That's all that was. It's like it's not. That's very diva-ish. Like on Antonio.
I think that's just being bitter. I think there's something going. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's something deep rooted. Something deep rooted over there.
But why?
I don't think that's something we'll ever know.
Not until probably after when his memoirs come out, something like that. It's like
they're gonna do a 30 for 30 on that mustache.
I don't know what I don't even know if that needs a 30 for 30. It just shows how toxic and how dysfunctional that locker room was.
It shows how toxic and dysfunctional AB.
Also you combine that type of personality with a Big Ben, with a guy going with a major All-Pro, you know, running back going through contract disputes, all gumboed up into that locker room. It's like then you on top of that put the offensive lineman talking more than any offensive lineman before. It's just like that locker room was just so dysfunctional. It's like how the hell did they even win games?
Tomlin.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's so interesting because all this going on with AB, we really even mentioning the Raiders? Are we dragging the Raiders through the mud?
I was talking to a coworker about this. I think this is going right with John Gruden's evil genius plan. What's the one thing that coaches complain about that take away attention from the team? Distractions, right? Who's the biggest distraction in the NFL right now? It's got to be AB. What's the one thing that we've been looking at with a microscope ever since he got hired? John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
He got AB on his team now. How many times are you going to be asking about John Gruden's plan compared to how many times you going to ask about AB, what he's got going on?
When they start talking about him as a Raider. Because right now they still talking about AB as he is still.
No, but he is a Raider now. And they're talking. There's now they're transitioning that to the Raiders now. And that's good for Gruden because that takes spotlight off of me and what I'm doing.
Because you know what's going to happen. Especially if they start losing.
They're going to blame AB. This is what you brought into the locker room.
Yep.
They'll blame him for like, "Oh, why did you bring this player?" But they still going to focus on AB.
They'll bring him up before they even blame anything on Gruden.
Exactly.
Anything.
And if you want to blame Gruden, Gruden can say, "I traded Khalil Mack, got 2 first-round picks. I traded Amari Cooper, got a first-round pick. We got AB for a 3rd and a 5th. The moves he's been making is like, you can't really argue against the value.
But if he's destructive.
He hasn't been yet.
Yeah, not to the Raiders.
Not to the Raiders.
Right, but that's what I'm saying right now.
But we don't know. That's a if.
Yeah. And then that's a wait and see.
And then on the other side
of that, if AB and them ball, he's going to look like it's a win-win
for him. It's a win-win for John Gruden.
Who's going to throw him the ball?
Yeah.
We know.
Kyler Murray.
Hey.
Might be Tua.
Oh, might be. Antonio Brown is not waiting a year for Tua.
Nope. He ain't got no choice at this point. I think this is his last contract.
He going to have the goddamn
AB?
Fool.
AB, yeah.
Because he 30 now, what? 30, mm-hmm. 31 now? He on that. That's that decline age in football.
Ain't nobody about to pay him for like that. Because at this point, after this contract, people look at him like, your production is not equal your worth. Like, as far as putting up with you.
Well, they're saying that the way that he plays football and the way that he gets in and out of routes, like, a lot of that is just built on technique and little tricks that he do. So, they say when he starts declining physically, he'll still be able to produce at a high level. So,
But because he's not a one trick pony. He's not just over the top. He's not just underneath.
He can run all routes.
He could do everything. Mm-hmm. So you know, at his worst, can he be Danny Woodhead or Julian Edelman? Who was the first one? Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Can he be those guys? Yeah, he could be those guys. So I think he'd be all right.
Yeah, that did y'all read that anything about that Packer situation? The article that came out that exposed the whole locker room situation between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers?
Nah.
Yeah, there was an article that came out.
Oh, hold on. Oh, snap. Paul PG about to get at PJ.
He about to get PG-13 out here.
How did they not call it? I guess they said that was an incidental contact on the last one. Because it damn sure looked like he tripped Paul George chasing that loose ball.
Fourth quarter of the Houston OKC
game. That was good defense.
Man, that was good defense. Paul George shouldn't have brought
that ball down. He wanted to hit him.
He shouldn't have brought that ball down.
Mm-hmm. P.J. Tucker like Bruce Bowen on this team.
He is.
Anyway.
So what were Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy?
There was an article that came out that basically exposed like what happened, like the stuff that's lead up to that breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it says that it was just a toxic locker room again. Like Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy just weren't getting along. Mike McCarthy wouldn't even show up to meetings. He'd get massages instead of coming to meetings.
Getting that Robert Kraft.
Something like that. And then, like, basically it was just bashing Aaron Rodgers still, too.
Mm.
But it kind of made Mike McCarthy look even worse, too, as a head coach. Like, you couldn't, you know, you not being professional.
Exactly. That's what I'm about to say.
And and then Aaron Rodgers came out on, I think it was a Wisconsin ESPN radio show, and he was just like, all this stuff is BS. That whole article, because it had comments and quotes from former players, too. It was like that whole article was about coming from bitter players, you know, irrelevant players that don't mean nothing to this organization no more. They just trying to do a smear campaign. None of that was true. He was like, why the hell would I re-sign with the Packers if I didn't like Mike McCarthy? You know, stuff like that.
True.
So that was a good point. But at the same time, how many more stories are we going to hear from former teammates or teammates in general about Aaron Rodgers and how we don't get along with him?
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, I think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that Aaron Rodgers, you see it the way he plays. Like, there's just an arrogance about him. You know what I'm saying? And it may rub a lot of people the wrong way, but it is what it is. It's part of what makes him great. And I can see how certain head coaches, especially guys that they think they're, you know, offensive geniuses or, you know, I'm the guy, you know, they come in with an ego as well. It ain't going to be bigger than Aaron Rodgers' ego. You know what I'm saying? I think that as a coach, you know, you got to check that at the door. And you know, in professional sports, the players make more than you. You know what I'm saying? And I think that there's a fine line of massaging the ego, but also pressing buttons to get performance. And, you know, in the case of Aaron Rodgers, I don't know him. I don't have any sources in that locker room. But I can see just by how he plays, how he walks, how he struts, what he chooses to say and what not to say, and how he chooses to say it and how not to say things. I think it says a lot, and I don't think that we need to be in the locker room to kind of get a overview of how Aaron Rodgers may be. And, you know, there's other stories not even associated with the locker room or the NFL that people have that aren't that don't paint them in the most positive of light. It is what it is. You know, I think that I'm okay with it because he's great, but he should be a GOAT. Based off of the talent he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes you have to humble your pride and your ego to be able to extract that out. Like when you look at Tom Brady has every reason in the world to be the most egocentric guy.
To be the highest paid player in the NFL.
Exactly. So with that being said, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers does have room for improvement. I'm not going to say that article is completely 100% false, but I definitely think that there are some truths in there.
Why or what's with the sudden takedown of Aaron Rodgers?
I think the production isn't adding up to championships. And
it's football.
But I'm saying in the era where you're seeing Tom Brady
with Belichick.
With Belichick, but when you're seeing Tom Brady damn near in the Super Bowl every year, if not deep in the playoffs, And Brady Aaron Rodgers can't make, and Aaron Rodgers in the last, what, three seasons has missed the playoffs, what, twice? It's like, we can't call you the best quarterback in the league if you're not in the most important time of the season, which is the playoffs. You make your bones in the playoffs. No matter what sport you're in, you make your bones in the playoffs.
It's football.
It's football, but you make your bones in the playoffs.
I mean, but...
Look, Ken, wait, hold on now. Don't be on that side of the fence, because we know you can literally pick the playoffs based off of the quarterback.
Yeah, I got it.
Usually.
But, okay. But I guess when we talk about Brady, we always say Brady and Belichick, right? So Brady wouldn't be going to all of these Super Bowls without Belichick. Do we all agree with that, okay?
Yes, and he hasn't had a Belichick.
Okay, thank you. I just want to.
He hasn't had a Belichick, but at the same time.
But look, Ben Roethlisberger has had Tomlin and Cowher.
Right, and
that was a big Ben. He never had a Belichick.
Yep, which is the point.
Yeah, but who's a better coach, Tomlin or Mike McCarthy?
But Tomlin,
I would say that's kind of even, to be honest.
And Tomlin wouldn't get the type of heat for Aaron Rodgers' performance because he's not the quarterback guru. He's not the offensive guy.
That's true. I just don't understand, like, I don't understand why everybody's trying to tear down Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden. I mean, this is like the man is still produces at a high level.
He does.
The coaching for the last 2 years has been iffy, coupled with injuries and their ability to draft and their unwillingness to sign free agents. Organizationally, they haven't serviced Aaron Rodgers well. When Brett Favre was there, how many times did he go to the Super Bowl? What is he, 1-1 in the Super Bowl? He got one, right?
Yeah, but to me,
Brett Favre, he got one?
Yeah, he got one.
He went twice.
I know he just won one against the Patriots in 96.
But he always was always in the contention of it. Because I remember when he played the Giants and they lost that.
So prior to the last 2 years, Aaron Rodgers wasn't in contention for Super Bowls?
He was, but it's a one. What have you done for me lately league?
But I guess. But how can we?
It's the same thing with LeBron. How can we say he's the best player in the world and he's not in the playoffs? He couldn't take his team to the playoffs. He couldn't even give his team a winning record.
But the difference is LeBron went to 9 straight finals. Aaron Rodgers has missed 2 out of the last 3 playoffs. That's the disparity in that.
I'm just talking about the mindset of he's supposed to be the pinnacle of that position or of the league, and he's not represented. He's not doing his half, his part.
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
As a quarterback,
he's the CEO of the company, right? Quarterback is supposed to bring law and order to that franchise.
I just can't subscribe to all of that when there are so many variables that contribute to
I don't think he's the biggest variable. I think the Green Bay Packers have done him a huge disservice by never being able to surround him with the right talent of being able to draft well, there's a lot of things that Packers haven't done.
Now we're saying it's Aaron Rodgers' fault.
But he has succeeded with that situation being the same thing for over 10 years now. His stats have been otherworldly with that organization still being the way it has been. So when you see it decline or when you see the success decline, it always falls on the best player.
And didn't Aaron Rodgers he got hurt this year. Didn't he get hurt last year?
Again, I'll go back to what you said earlier. It's football.
But didn't he miss games last year?
Yes.
And didn't that contribute to them not being able to make the playoffs?
Yeah, because they don't have nothing as a backup.
Who was out there? Nick Hundley or somebody like that? We don't even know. So, again, like, is that fully his fault if he's knocked out of and can't play or finish games? And this year he was severely limited.
I'm not saying it's fully his fault, but he is being – what I'm going for is more of he's being a reason for why that organization isn't as buttoned up as it's supposed to be. When you hear stuff like this, the infighting, the lack of respect for your teammates, the the distance you put yourself between yourself and your team. It's like,
oh, okay, my bad. I'm sorry. I thought it was Anwin.
It's just showcasing that there's something off with him, and we need to reevaluate him and his status.
Y'all go ahead. I'm good. Like, because I mean, the man, you know, like, there's only one Brady. There's only one Belichick that's going to be able to run an organization like that. It's like, it seems like we're just in an age where we just want to tear down every single person that we have.
We got to be critical of everybody.
There's being critical, and then there's smear campaigns, and there's hit jobs. And they've done it with Tomlin. Now, all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers is it. They do it with LeBron constantly. It's like, and they go at KD. He's only a back-to-back MVP. It's like, and I know negativity sells, but it's like this man has given us so many great moments, and now all of a sudden they just want to go in and tear him down. And I believe it started with Greg Jennings. I think he was one of the first one that started when they didn't re-sign him, and he went to go play with Minnesota, and then he got on Fox Sports, and then all of a sudden they just wanted to start just dogging the man.
Well, he has his reasons, though, because he had a story where I think this was during his contract year, when his last year with the Packers. He was, I think, before it was pregame, while they were warming up and stuff, Aaron Rodgers went over to somebody and said, to the other team. And he was like, yeah, maybe you should sign Greg Jett. Like, maybe you should take him. And this is during his contract year. And he kind of, even though I think Aaron Rodgers said it as a joke, he kind of took that to heart. Like, damn, bro, like, what if I joked about that with you? How would you feel?
You know, things haven't, from what it sounds like, been great there the last 2 years. You know, injuries coupled with, you know, injuries to Aaron Rodgers, coupled with Mike McCarthy falling off as a coach, has resulted in them missing the playoffs the last 2 out of the 3 years. And I don't know why there's suddenly a media backlash against Aaron Rodgers when they spent years praising the guy, like, until the last 2 years, and all of a sudden they just want to take the man down.
Yeah, because he was young and new at that point. As far as people always are quick to crown someone, and people are always quick to take the crown off. And at that point in time when they were praising him, he was that guy. He was the next up. People were expecting
multiple
Super Bowl runs. I think the league has passed him at this point. Predicting what's to come. Now, he could get a Super Bowl down the line, or he could make a deep playoff run next year.
So,
but when you see Patrick Mahomes, when you see Deshaun Watson, when you see we have a lot of young QBs now that are up and coming, and that's competition for him. It's hard for him to get out of his division now. There was one point where it was just you automatically put Green Bay atop of that division, an automatic playoff bid. Now he's fighting against Chicago. Now he's fighting against, you know, Minnesota. Like, it's not an easy
Kirk role. Cousins.
Well, I'm just saying it's not as easy as it used to be. It doesn't seem as fun as it used to be for him. I think he's starting to really get, like, it's starting to get to him. And you're seeing it mentally, you're seeing it physically.
Get to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. I think all the stress, I think he's being very stressed out about everything. He's stressed out that his teammates aren't as talented as he is.
Why do you think
that? Because I think he's starting to really understand his position and his shelf life as a top QB in his league.
What did he say?
I'm just saying, this is what I'm seeing.
What did you see?
Based on his frustrations of when was the last time you ever heard him really respond to articles come written about him and stuff like that? People talk about him for years.
Did you see what was written about him when you responded?
I saw it. I know, I'm just saying, but now you see that it's getting to him. Now you see that it's affecting his psyche. He can't just sit back and just let people talk.
Would
now.
You? If you saw that written about you and you think you thought it was unfair?
Listen to me. If I was making over $100 million, I wouldn't give a damn. I wouldn't give a damn about a lot of things. But that's just me. But if I'm a person who was supposed to be, who considered myself a top draft pick, and I sat in the draft room for 4 hours and was pick number 24, yeah, I'll have a chip on my shoulder. Yeah, I'm going to be pissed when someone discredits me or someone talks bad about me. Because
yeah, if they wrote their article about me and now you're attacking me as a person and my character,
exactly,
and my integrity, yeah, I'm going to say something regardless of how much money. Because like you said, they've said things about him before and he's kind of brushed it to the side.
But they were winning then too.
But they said things about him in the last couple of years, he hasn't responded. This was the one that he's like, okay, now y'all have went too far.
But this was a big year, though. The rest of the I can give you a pass on the other years because he was hurt, like, starting out. So he started, you know, with, you know, two steps back. But this season was kind of different. I think people really looked at this season like they really expect him to bounce back. And even though he did have some great moments this season, it wasn't enough. And I think people really thought, like, well, everybody else is gone but you. So it's got
to
be.
Well, him. I was just speaking more to him responding to the article and them attacking him as a man. And I think that's why he responded the way he did.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what happened?
Wow.
Damn it.
Is that PG?
Damn it, Nick.
Yep. Yep.
They going to replay.
They hit a big three. PG's just hit a big three. You know, this is one of the first times I've seen.
Arguing about.
This is one of the first times I've seen Russ made a really smart play. So the possession before this, instead of forcing up the three, he went and took the two.
Yeah, I saw that.
He took the two. They fouled. You know what I'm saying? And then they came down. Obviously, James Harden made both free throws. Then they came down. Now they're up one. There's two smart plays back-to-back by Russell Westbrook.
This is actually a huge game for Houston.
But they got to win it. But you know what's interesting about that play? And we're still 1.8 seconds left, so all that could be for naught. But because Russell always takes those shots at the end, PJ Tucker reacted, and it was just that split second that forced him to go chase Russ, left PG open.
PG, first team NBA, first team?
Should be. And if not first, he's definitely second.
There's no question he's definitely second.
Because of that shot, I really want them to win this game.
Houston really needs this game, though.
It'll be a good moment for them.
Look at Mo Cheeks.
Yeah.
The player poll.
Russell Westbrook got another triple-double.
Oh, shit.
About Draymond and Westbrook being overrated?
Yeah.
Oh, they ain't got no timeouts. Oh, no, they do. They have two.
Because I do want to talk about it, but we may have to
table it.
Because it was interesting what I've seen the players say.
But you know what was interesting to me is that not all of the players voted number one, and in certain categories, it was even less people that voted.
Oh.
So, like, in I want to say the MVP one, it was only 74 people that voted. But then the overrated one, 122 people voted.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like it's always bum players that be the ones that be voting.
I don't know.
I feel like superstars don't really judge each other like that.
I think the superstars do.
I do too.
I think it's the superstars or primarily a lot of them
because they all cool with each other though. That's what I'm saying.
But it's anonymous.
Exactly. Now the one guy that I can say is a superstar and I know he ain't vote for nothing. Russell Westbrook. He don't give no damn about nobody else.
I was gonna say Giannis too.
I can see Giannis not voting. Definitely CP's voting. LeBron is definitely voting.
Yeah, he voted for himself.
Yeah, he's definitely
he helped get himself to 12%.
James Harden is definitely voting.
Oh yeah,
KD voting.
Yes,
there it is right there. There it is right there. Oh, Harden ready for the playoffs.
Y'all stupid.
He had a good look too.
You know that I said that was huge for Houston because they were half a game back from a 2 seed.
Ooh, dang! How did Harden miss that?
They were half a game back from a 2 seed. That could come back to bite them.
This was a hard fought game.
Mm-hmm. Playoff intensity.
Oh. It looked like that shit was going in too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just barely.
Yeah. This is where Harden breaks down.
So Houston, they still a 2 seed.
You can't get much better than that.
Nah, you can't. You can't.
They tied with Denver.
But they got Houston at 2 though. They got them over.
Oh, I thought they were. Denver was still up.
Well, I wonder was this Houston's last game. If this was Houston's last game,
I think this is actually a big. That was Houston's last game.
I think there should be like two more games, like one or two more games for everybody.
This say 53-28, but I don't know if it's updated from. Is it?
Then 53-28. I think they 81. Got one.
I don't know if they got one more game in. Yeah, that's 81. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's 81 before this game or is this?
Hey Siri.
Or is this the 82nd game?
Who do the Houston Rockets play next?
Oh, I could have looked it up. Oh, no, they're done. That's it.
Yeah,
that's,
that is the last
they're
one.
They're done. That,
so that probably has an updated until. So they probably haven't updated it yet.
They 53 and 29.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they. That's what Houston. Rockets.
What's Denver?
Denver. They lost to the Jazz tonight, but they got one more tomorrow.
Did Detroit win?
Yeah, Detroit came back and won.
Oh, so y'all in?
Not quite. We have to win tomorrow.
Ooh. I got to win out, basically.
Yeah, against the Knicks.
What about Charlotte?
Charlotte won tonight, too. Mm. So we need Charlotte. Well, if we win, regardless.
Did Miami
Charlotte
win, too?
Miami won, but they out of it. They got them eliminated. They got them as eliminated. I guess because of the tiebreaker.
So win and in.
So tomorrow is. No, if we lose and if Charlotte lose, we in. If we win and Charlotte. Yeah, win, we in. We lose, we need Charlotte to lose.
And you're in.
And we in, yeah.
But you can't lose and Charlotte win.
Mm-mm. Right.
Dang.
Charlotte got the tiebreaker. So if we both got the same record, they're going to give it to Charlotte because mm-hmm. Charlotte beat us more times than the regular season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. We need to win.
And Charlotte needs to lose.
Well, no. We need to. If we
they
lose.
They just need to win.
Yeah.
Okay. Just win and you win.
We win and win.
Yep.
But if we lose, we need Charlotte to lose.
Exactly.
So we can still be that half a game ahead.
Oh, so you guys have. Okay. So you guys have one more or half game ahead of them right now.
That's what I'm saying. So if we win, regardless of what Charlotte do, we in.
That was.
But if we lose, we need Charlotte to lose. If we lose and Charlotte win tomorrow. Then that's they it.
Because y'all have identical records.
Right, we have identical records. And Charlotte got a tiebreaker.
I think that was Houston's last game.
It is. It I just is. Said it. Yeah, that yeah. was.
So
was.
I would love for Casey to get in, man. So what I was.
They played Houston in the first round.
Denver has two more games left.
Yeah, Denver got another game tomorrow. Yeah. Denver got a game tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's the last
day.
Yeah, season. Last day.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got one more
they got
tomorrow.
One more.
I like that Portland-Utah matchup.
So if they lose.
Yes.
If. Yeah.
That'd be good.
If Denver lose, Houston's going to be a two seed.
Oh, so yeah, so.
And you know what? Just seeing that, Denver versus San Antonio, Pop might be making a second round, baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
He might be making
a second round. I think that's a guarantee.
I can't say it's a guarantee.
I can't say it. They still got LaMarcus.
I think DeMar Rosen. I think DeMar Rosen is a lot better than what people think, especially in the playoffs.
He doesn't look better this year.
He started off hot.
He did. And they
cool. And I know a lot of it has to do with Pop, but DeMarcus had moments last year. Like, DeMarcus went to San Antonio. He disappeared off the face of the map. DeMar.
I think, I don't know. I like DeMar, Aldridge, Rudy Gay, too. I think Rudy Gay is really having a good season, too.
He is.
I think once they get into the playoffs and they locked in, I think Pop know how to turn it on.
No, I know that. It's just.
Because that Spurs team, if it wasn't for Zaza crippling Kawhi, they could have beat the Warriors.
Possibly.
Maybe. But I was about to say until I saw the standings that I still agree with this. I think that game was bigger for OKC than Houston because they have struggled down the stretch. Paul George, many are saying, hasn't been healthy because of the shoulder. To win a hard-fought game like that, a playoff game, against an opponent they may end up seeing more than they were more likely see in the first round.
And on top of that, you see how they won too. Westbrook got to defer.
It's got to be a point guard.
He's got his triple double too. This man averaged a triple double for three straight seasons.
Three straight seasons.
I know it hasn't set in. It's going. I think in like 10 years. When he's I'm gonna be like, damn, that nigga did it for like.
Yeah. Back to what you were saying last year, he will be. He got to go down his top five.
He might have to go down as top three.
Not appreciating what we're seeing, man. Nah. What the fuck is going on here? This is crazy. Hey,
forget that.
That is so crazy, though.
2020-21.
Yeah. Rolling 60s.
Yeah. Yo.
First player to do that since Wilt Chamberlain.
50-some years, bro.
That's crazy. And like they just brushing off Westbrook. And that's
why if he just gets one championship.
I think he arguably might be
number two.
You know what? I don't know. You move him up that
nah,
high.
He won't go that.
However,
we
would hold him in our heart near and dear, just like we do AI.
I think it'll be more.
And that's what I was going to say. Even more than AI. He
AI so beloved though. Man.
He has to.
You have to. AI was like he ushered in this.
Yeah, he did.
If it wasn't for AI, the tattoos, the cornrows,
there wouldn't be a Russ.
Like exactly, it wouldn't be where it is today. So you cannot take that away from AI. That's bigger than life. Just like I say, Jordan. Nobody's ever going to eclipse Jordan and what it means to be Jordan Brand and all. Like nobody's going to be able to pass that. But to do what Russell has done, and it's probably going to be 4 or 5 straight years that he averages.
That's what I was thinking. Like, how long can he keep this up?
He's going to try to do it as long as possible, right? And I think he could do it for another year, maybe two. If he does it for 5 straight years, and then in that time, somehow, some way, he pulls off a championship.
He's like 40, almost between 40 and 50 triple doubles away from passing Oscar Robinson, mm-hmm. like all time.
He might pass him next year.
That's crazy.
As a basketball fan, I agree with you, but I think the media has done a terrible job.
Yeah. They will have no other choice. Yeah,
that of course.
It will take him retiring and being away from the game. Yep.
For people to be like, holy shit, we passed up on this.
So we talking, and this sounds crazy as hell for somebody to average a triple-double for the next 2 years, making it 5 straight years. Do you believe, it's a big if he takes it all the way through the end of his career, like where does that put him?
He has to be number one.
To average a triple-double from whatever point that was to the end of his career.
He has to be number one.
Not over Magic.
Or MJ?
Yeah, nah.
I would have to give him number one because it's like that commitment. You see how hard he plays now. For him to do it, if he does it, obviously that's a big if. But if he does it.
Man, you see how they disrespect Wilt. You think they're going to respect Russ?
But this is a new era as far as media. Like, the fans will love it. OKC will.
The fans are not loving it, though.
I think the fans love it. I think the best ticket to get is whenever Oklahoma City comes to town or if you're an Oklahoma City fan. Because you know Russ is going to play hard. He's going to make sure that he put on a show. And he's going to make sure that you go away knowing that this is one of the greats.
Anyway, man, that's going to do it for us, man. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.